For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Everyone has an opinion, but he's got the Von Hessler Doctrine. Eric Von Hessler on WSB.
Live from Sherwood Forest in the heart of Atlanta, Georgia, hour one of the Von Hessler Doctrine begins now. I am your lovable, huggable morning chat host. The other voices you hear are the doctrinaires. First of those, man of a thousand voices, Tim Andrews is here. She's the queen of the invisible box. Autumn Fisher joins us. The handsomest producer in all of producery, hungover somewhere, putting himself back together again after his dirty 30 birthday party over the weekend in the hills of Tennessee somewhere. So he is being replaced for this show by our friend English Nick.
Cheers.
And guess who's here? Look right over there. Greg Russ is in the house. Just you can wait. You say hello. I appreciate the fact that you don't want to, you know.
I want to be respectful of the show. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to hijack this thing.
Okay, very
hello.
Good. Just say hello. That's all. Yeah. Now, you know, we're going to hold you to that. You can't just come on and say, I'm not going to hijack the show. Now, we're going to, for the next 3.5 hours, the 3 hours on the radio and the podcast 30, we're going to hold you to that.
I follow your lead.
Oh, very good.
I trust you. Here's my trust. I hand it over.
Well, thank you very much. I tell you, we got a lot to get to, including the fact that a listener has made us handmade flutes.
They're beautiful.
So let's get to
it. Headlines for Monday, February 25th.
I think I should explain this right off the top.
Do it.
And Autumn, there's one here for you.
Yay! I'll be there Friday.
Yes, you will.
I'll be there Friday.
Sabrina Cupid.
What's the date on Friday?
March 1st, 2019.
Sabrina Cupid, the great Sabrina Cupid, who does the news here while we're on the air. Her father loves the show, and he also makes homemade flutes. And you put those two together, that means we get our very own homemade flutes by Sabrina Cupid's father. Now, we have three, and Sabrina told me she was directed that Eric gets one, Tim gets one, and the girl gets one as well.
Oh, no!
Amber.
Oh, no! What is his name?
Now, hold
Frank?
On hold on a second.
Listen
now,
here, Frank.
Don't be turning on somebody who's a listener who made things
My
for us.
Name's April, and I want you to learn it.
Her name is actually Autumn. Give me some headlines.
All right. The Oscars happened last night, and Spike Lee was furious when Green Book won Best Oscar for Best Picture. And he appears to try to storm out of the theater, but then he came back later on.
Now, was he doing a little a comedy act when he was appearing to storm out?
No, I don't believe so.
Did he actually get angry that this was actually going on? Later on, I'll tell you something about Spike Lee. He doesn't bother me. I find him to be quite a character. I think he's pretty funny, actually. So this was in the press conference afterward.
I just wanted to ask you, we saw a little bit of a reaction to the Green Book win. Mm-hmm. Can you give us your thoughts on that Best Picture win?
Let me take another sip.
Champagne.
Next question.
Can we have that as a drop?
We're going to come down here then.
Oh, wait a minute. What reaction did you see? What did I do? No, I thought it was courtside at the Garden. The ref made a bad call.
We'll move over here.
Courtside.
95.
The world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden. Next question.
Yes, the answer, Autumn, is you can have that.
Next question.
As a drop.
He said he'd had about 6 glasses of champagne.
You know what? I get his point. I don't know if Do the Right Thing was actually
nominated.
But the year that it wasn't nominated, I think Driving Miss Daisy won.
Right.
So the year he is nominated, the reverse of Driving Miss Daisy wins, where it's a white guy driving a black musician around the South.
He said anytime anybody's driving somebody, he loses.
Yeah. So, you know, I didn't watch it. My understanding is it got a little political. They never mentioned Trump. That makes me realize that's not the reason I'm not watching. I think some of it has to do with just age. I think when I was 12 or 22 or even 32, mm-hmm. for some reason I put some sort of stock into these awards that these actors give each other. But I have to say, I hate to just be a drag, but I don't care at all. My wife this morning woke up and she saw the coverage and she was really excited that the lady won actress.
Olivia
Colman, is that her name?
Yeah.
And I just thought, who cares? Why would you be excited that somebody won? Why would you be upset that somebody lost?
If you respect somebody's body of work like I do, Olivia.
But what did they win?
Well, they get recognition.
They get recognition. Yeah. Who cares? I mean, the best is this is not an original thought, it's not a mind blowing thought. It's not an epiphany.
Mm-hmm.
The best movie of 2018 was the best movie you saw in 2018. That's the reality. If you thought your favorite movie was the best movie and this movie won the Green Book and that wasn't it, are you now forced to reassess? Well, I guess the best movie wasn't the one that I thought. Yes, Greg Russ.
I thought Olivia was the best actress for the favorite, so I was excited that she won because that was my opinion going in.
Okay, so she it's
was,
a validation.
I really like her. I like her work, though, as Nick said, and she was just surprised.
Yeah,
and
going I like
up
her
there,
too.
But going up there surprised and off the cuff, she didn't have any prepared speech.
No. She didn't think she was going to win.
She was very funny. Like you can just tell how funny of a person she is. She's talented, and that's why.
If you buy in when the person that you like wins, then you have to buy into everything. And I think it's not so much, obviously, as you get older, you're less connected to what pop culture is. That has something to do with it. But even if I loved every movie that was nominated for Movie of the Year, I still wouldn't have watched and I still wouldn't have cared. I don't understand what the excitement is about. They're handing you the statue. You know what I got?
I was going to say,
got handed a wooden flute. Now, this is a fan. This is a person who made this with their own hands.
You should do a thank you speech, an acceptance speech for your flute.
I think I will later in the show. Yeah. I'm going to thank everybody, and I want to tell some people right now I'm absent-minded, so I'm going to leave some people off the list that should have been recognized in this award of the great radio flute. I mean, it's really, to me, it's my commentary here is more about me and my age than the reality, but
I don't think you're alone feeling that way about it.
I don't see how people get excited about these Hollywood, and, you know, Lady Gaga up there. Oh, is there anyone more boring on this planet than Lady Gaga?
Thank you. What? What are you? She's you think she's boring?
I think she's talented, but I think she's boring.
I think she's very fake. I think there's a lot of fake stuff to her.
Phony.
What?
Yes. Well, Autumn loves what's Autumn's thing? Not transgendered. What is it?
Drag queens.
She loves drag queens.
And I do love a drag queen.
If there's a Venn diagram of entertainment, she's overlapped into drag queenism.
All right.
So that's why Autumn likes her.
And but I wish that she was more drag queen. Yeah, she was a little bit toned down. She's been more and more toned down as she's gotten, I don't know, more successful or older.
Right.
I don't know.
She's like the new Liza Minnelli. I don't know. He's talented.
But I'm into that.
Annoying.
No. All right. We're just different.
Hello,
you know what?
Darling, I was an author.
You know, and then I think I look at this Lady Gaga, and I happen to know for a fact because I have friends who have done, you know, been part of the New York music scene, that started out as a double bill, Lady mm-hmm. Gaga and Lady Sparkle.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, did she get any shout out to Lady Sparkle last night? I doubt it. She never does. So I looked up Lady Sparkle, and I hope I'm getting the wrong one here. But on Facebook, there was a Lady Sparkle, and she's part of the music industry, and she only has 800 followers. And she started out
feel
as
bad
a
for
double
Lady Sparkle.
I do too. You think maybe she can throw out a hey, thanks for helping me out in the beginning. Who knows? Maybe they hated each other by the time they broke up. It does happen with partners, I hear.
Yeah, yeah. I've never heard of that. I don't know why.
Gaga did stick around after her first taste of success Because there was this, she was dating a guy in a local band in New York, and he was also a bartender at a bar on the Lower East Side, and she would show up still.
Mm-hmm.
But it became this thing where she would show up, and then they roped off an area for her. Then she had a bodyguard, this big guy who was bald with big scar on his head.
Yeah, that's what annoys me about all of these entertainers. You know, Trump has simplified things, I will give you, with the idea that you don't believe in walls for the country, but you all live behind walls. And that now, whether or not that's a good analogy as far as whether or not we should spend money for a wall, I'll set that aside. But all of these entertainers are forever talking about the regular people, the real people, mm-hmm. the little people. And as soon as they get a chance to buy a mansion and live behind a wall, they all take it. They all take it. And there's nothing wrong with it. I just wish that they would own it. Like Arthur Blank. You have a story about Arthur Blank?
I do, Arthur
now,
Blank.
Now, Arthur Blank owns the fact that he's got a whole bunch of money.
He just spent $180 million of his dollars on... Well, it depends who you talk to. TMZ say the yacht is 240 feet long, but the yachting publications say it's 295 feet long.
Oh, it's discrepancy about length.
Well, size doesn't matter when it comes to boats.
And you'll have all of these people, but believe me, they'll be headed off at the pass. Oh, he doesn't need a yacht. This shows how the rich are so out of touch. Here's some news you may be, it may be new to you. Mm. There is not one millionaire nor billionaire building a yacht anywhere. Yachts are built by people. Regular people.
Yacht builders.
So when Jerry Jones and Arthur Blank, football team owners, go out and buy a yacht, what that does is help people who are not millionaires and billionaires who are in the yacht building business. By the way, I would say that Robert Kraft should have gotten a yacht and run it in international waters. Maybe he wouldn't be in such trouble as he is. We haven't gotten to that story yet.
Down here in Atlanta, we know that when you go out on the water, you're in international waters. If you bring friends along and
friends.
And various lubricants and things...
Friends and lubricants.
Friends and lubricants.
It's my next album. It drops in April.
No spying eyes.
The boat, Arthur's boat is called, yacht, is called Dreamboat. It includes his initials AMB.
Yeah, it's weird because the D is capitalized and the R is lowercase.
So is the E.
Then it's uppercase AMB.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then the rest. What is it again?
Dreamboat.
Dream.
So OAT is lowercase.
Okay, whatever.
Arthur Why? Blank.
What is the M? So I get
it's
the
my
A.
Middle name.
What's that stand for?
Money bags.
Arthur Money Bags.
Money bags blank. How much? What does the boat hold? It's like there's how many guests? You get 28 guests.
Yeah,
I heard it's 28 guests, but then the crew is over. What is it?
33.
So you got 33 crew taking care of 28 guests. I want to be on Arthur Blank's yacht, man.
Come on. Bring a friend.
The Von Hessler Doctrine. The world's first trans-political talk show. Strong enough for a man, sensitive enough for a woman, and neutral enough for those who don't identify with their naughty parts. Eric Von Hessler on WSB.
All right, English Nick, toss another story at me quickly.
All right, the cops say they have graphic video from inside that Asian spa where Robert Kraft was supposed to have been.
Can I just say this? This is a video that I do not want to see. I don't think the world needs to see.
You don't think it's going to get a release, general release?
Well, I'm sure that it's going to be out there, but I do not need to see a 77-year-old millionaire, billionaire, whatever he is.
Inflategate.
I did a rather provocative tease this morning on this about how Robert Kraft is actually the latest victim of human trafficking. And... before we get in, well, first of all, the president, I guess, is surprised. You know, they're friends.
Well, it's very sad. I was very surprised to see it. He's proclaimed his innocence totally, but I'm very surprised to see it.
Very, very. I don't know why he didn't just get a Playboy model. $250,000. You could afford that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I mean, what good or not? Don't run for president, and then you could keep the NDA.
Yeah, all that matters is that non-disclosure agreement that gets signed, right?
Right. And by the way, avoid anybody connected to Michael Avenatti.
Look, human trafficking is a horrible thing that goes on in this world. Now, unless... you were to put truth serum inside of Robert Kraft and get him to admit that the fact that these women were indentured servants made it more exciting for him. I'm guessing that's not true. human trafficking happens because we keep making things illegal that human beings have been doing since the beginning of time. If you want to get rid of human trafficking, here's an idea. Three words. Legalize human behavior. Right? People have been doing what Robert Kraft has been doing forever. But we decide that it's against the law. Now, what happens? Look at drugs. What happens when you have a large demand and what people want is made illegal? Criminals get involved. So you immediately start with the lowlifes of the world. They're the people. They're the people who are willing to provide a service that's illegal. The idea that they can make a whole bunch of money weighed against, I don't know, 25, 30 years in prison. Given that choice, who's going to do that? The edgiest criminal-minded person is the only person who's going to make that choice. Human beings have been doing this forever. This is the thing about the law. And so human trafficking becomes a criminal enterprise used to serve a want, which is sex in this case. I don't understand why people can't get this. Legalize it. You'll get rid of the criminal element, not completely, but by and large. And it goes to a bigger thing. The law is there to get the criminal class, to protect us from the criminal class. Real crimes. The law is always wrong when it creates a criminal. So when you take somebody who's pays their bills, good to their kids, does everything else, but they're smoking a joint somewhere, maybe in their backyard, I don't know, on a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Don't look at me that way.
I'm not looking at you that way.
That person has been made a criminal by the law. That's not what the law is for. The law is to protect that person from true criminals, the criminal class. Robert Kraft is not part of the criminal class. He was made a criminal by stupid laws. And I gotta say, I really... After... what did Lady Gaga win for the song?
Best original song.
So she did win an Oscar, just not in the actress category. And I'm looking at this Facebook page, because I know she started as a duo, Lady Gaga and Lady Sparkle.
Mm-hmm.
And I really hope I have the wrong page here. Lady Sparkle.
Lady Sparkle's still in the bars doing it?
She's still getting it done, you know, but she only has like 830 followers on Facebook. And there's a picture of her here. She looks delightful. But I mean, she looks like she's in an apartment that I lived in 1978.
Maybe
I don't think that's her.
You don't think it's her?
I do not.
She's doing music. I mean, it's a musician.
But I don't think that that's her.
Okay, I hope.
Sorry.
It's not. This is a lovely person. I'm hoping it's not.
Maybe Gaga Pace.
I slept on that couch in 1978. I think that Gaga could throw her a buck or two.
Maybe Gaga pays her rent. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it ain't much. She pays rent there. It ain't much. All right. So we're going to do something else here. But I have this. Tim Andrews is doing audio.
Yeah.
Because Jared is, you know, recovering from his 30th birthday party somewhere in the Tennessee Hills. And he sent a whole bunch of audio. And I feel like if we don't just kind of have a segment where we go through it, be a lot of it be left on the table. There's some really good stuff.
Hey, wait a minute.
What? Yeah.
You know, I'm going to Vietnam. That's kind of a big story.
You in Vietnam?
The bone spurs have healed.
I knew you'd get there eventually.
What?
I knew you would get there eventually.
Hey, guess what? Real quick.
Yeah.
And it's 1, 2, 3. What are we fighting for? Past atrocities. I don't give a damn. I'm eating Kim in Vietnam. Working on it.
Just working on it.
Yeah.
That's a little something. Maybe we get the full one, huh?
Country Don and the Fish.
Amazing how much you could do and still be president of the United States. So I think maybe I'll start here with AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Cortez.
This is, by the way, this what you're going to hear here is that this is going to be fun to watch. I think I hate to bring up the M word because people sometimes say I bang on millennials too much, and they're probably right. But in this situation, this is really, we can say AOC is our really first bona fide, high profile millennial politician, not just of age, but of thought, mind, state of mind. And this is where it's coming to already. So she's had a little bit of blowback from the Green New Deal because it makes no sense. And it's not attainable. We wouldn't. It's not affordable. There's nothing about it that is realistic in any way. So I don't know where she was speaking, but she's already starting to get a little defensive about all this.
And I read it and I was like, you know what? I don't care anymore. I don't care.
First of all, she's been there how long? How long has she been
there? A little
in,
over a month.
In Congress?
Yeah.
She's done with it. You done with it?
Yeah, it's just...
Okay, hold on.
And I read it and I was like, you know what? I don't care anymore. I don't care anymore. Because, again, I'm at least trying, and they're not. So the power is in the person who's trying, regardless of the success. If you're trying, you've got all the power. You're driving the agenda. You're doing all this stuff.
What kind of psycho babble, millennial psycho? Just trying is enough. If you're trying, that's a... I don't imagine she's a sports fan, but would anybody apply that to their favorite sports team? Hey, they're trying. As long as they're trying, that's enough. That's all I... So that's the way... That's the education... That's what you're seeing coming through. The education is there are no actual standards. You do you. And whether you succeed or not really doesn't matter. Trying is enough. And then she gets all sassy.
So people are like, oh, it's unrealistic. Oh, it's vague.
Remember, this is a high-profile politician in the House of Representatives. No, it is not your daughter after you told her that she couldn't spend the night over at somebody's house.
So people are like, oh, it's unrealistic. Oh, it's vague. Oh, it doesn't address this little minute thing. And I'm like, you try. You do it.
Right.
Because you're not. So you're until not. You do it, I'm the boss.
That's
how
right.
about that? I'm the boss.
That's
I'm
right.
the boss. I'm the boss.
That's
how about
right.
that?
He's that.
I'm the boss. How about that?
Okay, which reminds reminds us here of a certain lady on a certain episode of Dr. Phil a few years ago.
Catch me outside. How about that?
I'm the boss.
That's
how about
right.
that?
Catch me outside. How about that?
I'm the boss.
That's
how about
right.
that? And like, she be thinking she all bad.
Yeah. So, Tim Andrews, who was great at audio, actually found this old tape that apparently Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was on Dr. Phil. Few years ago.
What do you say to yourself that gives you the right to take somebody else's car?
I'm the boss.
That's
how about
right.
that?
What now? I'm sorry, I didn't get that. Are you speaking English?
I'm the boss.
Oh. Okay, so tell me again, what is it you say to yourself that gives you the right to take somebody else's car?
I'm the boss.
That's
how about
right.
that? You do it.
You do it.
Again, this is a member of the House of Representatives.
You do it.
What are you complaining about? Do it then.
No, I don't want to do it.
But
the it of which
it's
you speak.
It's just so annoying. First of all, everyone's coming to you like, make things more precise. Like, stop putting things up and then taking things down. And I'm like, this is really hard. And like, there are no outlets where I'm sitting in Congress. And it's I can't charge my phone.
It's hilarious. She's exhausted.
It's 2%.
She's exhausted by this whole thing so far. Meanwhile, AOC has never made herself available to debate anyone of substance who disagrees with her.
Yeah.
This exhaustion comes from a little bit of blowback that somehow got within the, thank you, that got within, you know, a little bit within her protected bubble. This is a person who has never been on stage and debated anyone of substance.
Whatever.
Anyone who, you know, whatever. That's what you're...
You're not allowed to sit here anymore.
Did you get the periscope I sent to?
No.
Where she's chopping up the sweet potatoes and making chili. And complaining. That was the last one I say.
I'm the boss. You do it. I'm the boss.
Yeah. Are you complaining? Are you complaining I made chili? Where's your chili? You
remember, this is, you know what you should do? I think that, I think it would be good if you started everything that you say like this.
And I read it and I was like, you know what?
Wait a minute.
I don't care anymore. I don't care anymore. Because, again, I'm at least trying.
Yeah. I think you should start everything.
So people are like, oh, it's unrealistic. Oh, it's vague. Oh, it doesn't address this little minute thing. And I'm like, you try. You do it.
Right.
Because you're not. So until you do it, I'm the boss.
That's
how about
right.
that?
I just think that you should see if I can give you. Yeah. I think before you say anything, just go, Dad!
So I was supposed to be home at a certain time. And everybody's like, oh, you were supposed to know what time it was. Oh, you're supposed to have your phone charged enough so you can see what time it is. Oh, you're supposed to have gas in your car so you don't run out of gas. Dad, I was late. I was having fun with my friends.
That is so unfair, isn't it? That's always unfair.
It's just that is so unfair.
Now,
Dad!
Another piece of audio. That comes. Did this happen on Friday?
Yeah.
Are
you talking about Feinstein?
Yeah.
Yeah.
These are the two spectrums.
Are you done?
I'm done with. You can move
Dad.
On.
Go to bed.
AOC, it's your bedtime. You must go.
I'm not even tired even.
All right, don't start crying now. I know you're.
I'm not crying,
you're
Dad.
High-strung. I understand.
I just wanted to, like, make change and, like, you guys are all being really mean. Like, it has to make sense. Oh, it has to be perfect. Oh, it's not. Okay?
You're just trying to save the world, right?
I'm just trying, Dad. God. I'm going to go live with Mom.
Thank God. Make sure to do your laundry.
I don't even know what that is.
I set you up for you do it. That was supposed to be a you do it.
You do it.
All right, so the
Sorry,
other...
Sorry, God.
All right, I'm done with you, AOC.
No.
Yes.
Okay, bye.
The other end of this Democrat, leftist, crazy spectrum is Dianne Feinstein, who I believe is 82 or 83 years of age. And she's a senator. And a bunch of children?
She's at her office.
This is what I hate more.
Yeah.
The children are being affected by climate change, so let's send the children. Because let me tell you something about 11-year-olds. They do the research. Like, they don't just show up spouting whatever their parents told them to say. They know of what they speak. So this is Dianne Feinstein. I got to give her credit because I think she treats these children the way they should be treated. So they show up to say she needs to vote for the Green New Deal because it's about their future.
We're here asking you to vote yes on the resolution for the Green New Deal because that is the only
that resolution that will not pass the Senate. Yeah. And you can take that back to whoever sent you here.
We have 12 years to...
This is a child.
We have 12 years...
This is a kid who really knows what they're talking about, really did the research themselves, not dependent upon others.
We have 12 years to turn this around.
Well, it's not going to get turned around in 10 years.
Does one of the other kids go, or 11?
We have 12 years to turn this around.
Well, it's not going to get turned around in 10 years.
I like this. They caught this old lady, but she just was not in the mood.
Right. The government is supposed to be for the people and by the people and all
for the
people.
You know what's interesting about this group is I've been doing this for 30 years. I know what I'm doing. You come in here. And you say it has to be my way or the highway. I don't respond to that.
Damn kids.
Get off my lawn.
This is what she points. This kid tries to say, we voted for you. And she's like, how old are you?
I know what I'm doing. So, you know, maybe people should listen a little bit.
I hear what you're saying, but we're the people who voted you. You're supposed to listen to us. That's your job.
How old are you?
I'm 16. I can't vote.
Well, you didn't vote for me.
Well, she... I'm 24.
It doesn't matter. We're the ones who've been impacted.
But they impacted. Was that...
We're going to be impacted.
Was that AOC back there?
You do it.
And then finally, the great Feinstein blow off.
Any plan that doesn't take bold, transformative action is not going to be what we need.
Well, you know better than I do. So I think one day you should run for the Senate.
There you go.
Fine, I will.
And then Feinstein, I think the last thing she said was...
Catch me outside. How about that?
She sounds like the voice of God amongst those kids.
I just have to say... First of all, she's got nothing to lose, right? If she's 82 or 83, she just won the Senate 6 years. She's done anyway, so she doesn't have to put up this nonsense.
I'm glad.
And perhaps you can run.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The Von Hessler Doctrine. We're never quite sure what'll come out of their mouths, but we do know who's going to pay the FCC fine when it does. Eric Von Hessler, 9 till noon on WSB.
While we're just going through random audio from the weekend, after all of that.
Vietnam.
I know that... I know you're going to Vietnam. We're going to cover that you're going to Vietnam. So,
well,
some people wonder why you weren't there. You know, I don't want to get into that. You know, this whole thing.
Bone spur.
Okay, all right.
Because I was rich. I mean, rich people don't fight. Get out of here.
That was just a joke. You're just making a joke, right?
Well, no. I'm telling you, rich people don't. I mean, look, I'm the only rich guy that didn't go to Vietnam. Where was Bill Clinton? Rhodes Scholar. Whoop-de-doo.
There was a moment there where it was kind of a Jared Yamamoto, Donald Trump hybrid, sort of a.
So what do you think? What's going to say?
Donald Yamamoto.
Trumpamoto.
Trumpamoto.
So.
Here's more from AOC, the darling. You were talking about. Just seeing the glass is half empty all the time.
There's scientific consensus that the lives of children are going to be very difficult. And it does lead, I think, young people to have a legitimate question. You know, is it okay to still have children?
Okay, you know what? I got an idea. How about if you don't? What?
That was her Periscope from last night while she's cutting up sweet potato. And the funny thing about it is you see the replay on Twitter, you can see all the comments. You're a jerk. You're a loser. Socialism sucks.
I mean, that may be, but I mean, it really leads to a great question, which is like, how much cumin do you use in a chili? Like, I'm not sure.
Yeah, that is. And you can crowdsource. You can crowdsource for that, right?
And I just feel like there should be more. And some people say, you need to add more, or like, it doesn't taste very good, and like, why didn't you cook it long enough so that the meat is cooked? And I'm like, I'm done.
You're done with this, right?
You've got to get the details right on a good recipe, Eric.
Yeah,
but that's just like, I just feel like it should taste better. It just doesn't.
Well, she's a terrible cook as well. Can you believe hour two of the Von Hessler Doctrine begins right now? And it's a 10 on the malice meter. A little nod to my friend Scott Slade there.
Thank you.
You know, there's not only just the, of course, the Oscars, but they have this thing called the Razzies. You know what the Razzies are in
English, Nick? The Raspberry Awards?
No. Oh. Well, maybe it is. Maybe in England they call them the Raspberry Awards.
He got a raspberry, didn't he?
I guess Razzie. Well, I was thinking, I thought it was like we're razzing them, but no, it probably is short for raspberry. Holmes and Watson won Worst Movie of the Year. I remember seeing three commercials one weekend. It was gone. Will Ferrell, John C. Reilly. Almost seemed like you had everything you needed. All of the Sherlock Holmes lore to work with. Yes, did you see it, Greg Russ?
No, I was going to say you have everything you needed except a good script.
Perhaps. It seems to me like if these guys got involved, they said yes to the script.
Well, they were trying to recapture that magic from the racing movie. What was that one called?
Oh, Talladega Nights.
Ricky Bobby.
And then the one where they played brothers.
Step brothers.
Yeah.
Loved those.
So, Holmes and Watson should have been a good... Look, there was material there for a good comedy.
I read that the material was there, but it was not done properly.
Executed properly.
So, I don't even know if it was executed. It wasn't even there to work with. I don't know if they wrote the script. When I throw it to the script, it was because it was just awful, is what I read. I didn't see it.
Well, then they should have said yes
article.
To it.
I read a whole article about how awful the script was.
I saw the clip where one of them punches out the Queen of England or something like that.
That's funny. They probably showed you the funniest joke right there. Yeah. All right, let's do this.
More headlines for Monday, February 25th.
More headlines. Go ahead.
She sounds a bit raspy this morning, the old voice girl.
Yeah. Oh, well, we have it. Voice girl, are you all right?
Yeah it's time for headlines for February 25th, Tuesday.
All right, President Trump's off to Vietnam later today, and he's also said that he's going to delay further tariffs on Chinese goods.
Tariffs or tariffs?
I say tariffs.
Is he putting tariffs down as well?
He's putting tariffs.
Darling, it's tariffs.
Tariffs, tariffs, whatever. Going to delay.
Yes. So he's going to delay.
Tariffs.
March 1st, in case people don't follow this, right? He's put 10%.
Yep.
And then March 1st, as they're doing these talks to completely work it out, March 1st was going to be the date that 10% went to 25% on most goods or many goods from China. So now these talks are going supposedly so well that he's moved that back a little bit. The markets rose, but who understands the markets and what their reasoning
is? I do.
Do you understand
it? When they're up, they're good. When they're down, they're bad.
Didn't you tweet something about the, you tweeted something about the gas prices or something? Or?
Oh, I did.
Just, who are you arguing with, gas? Or?
Oil prices getting too high. OPEC, please relax and take it easy, okay? World cannot take a price hike. Fragile.
Take
very,
it easy.
Very, very fragile.
You do it.
No, you do it.
Hey.
I'm the boss. That's how about that?
How about that?
Okay, well, I'm the president, so you're the boss of your kitchen where you're cutting up yams.
Yeah, but, like, I'm actually doing something.
I'm doing something? I'm going to Vietnam.
Fine.
Now, here's the thing about him.
That's in Asia, AOC.
Going.
What?
Going.
It's called the Orient. God, so stupid.
Going to, I don't know which one is proper. I thought.
It's not the Orient. Asian.
Oh, okay.
Whatever. It's not important.
Oriental means rugs.
As he goes to Vietnam to meet with Kim Jong-un.
Un.
Yes. I think this time around, people are going to expect a little more. He's kind of pushing things down a little bit, saying, ah, this doesn't have to go so fast. I just like the fact that there isn't any testing. But I mean, after a while, the second time, we're going to expect him to walk out with something. Something. Something tangible. This thing is being torn down. I don't think it's enough, and I've got a feeling that maybe this might happen. They just meet, it's a good photo op, and status quo, same as before. They're not testing, we're still talking about getting them to denuclearize. The one thing that they could do is walk out and say that this is one thing we agree on, because this is something people are not really looking at, and we can't get any further with this until we define this. Both sides have to have the same definition for denuclearization. Right now, we are not. You could, one side can say it, and the other side can say it. But if the two sides have different definitions of what that means, then you have nowhere to go with it. So I think that something tangible needs to come out of this. There will be 60 less of these.
Yeah,
you pick whatever it is.
Give us a number.
You know, inspectors from around the world are going to be allowed to go to these places on this date. But I got a feeling it's just going to be another kind of feel good thing. Yeah, it's great that they're not testing, but, then Trump needs to come forward and say, look, this is a long range thing. This is step one. Even if I win re-election, probably step two is going to come later in that term or maybe even after that. But the idea that what's annoying is that he comes out and says, we got everything.
We got it all.
I don't expect you to get everything. Just tell me what you exactly got. Or just say, look, this is going to be a long process. This dude is young. I'm getting us on the right path here. That's what my presidency is doing. It's getting us on the right path.
I decided, well, we came to an agreement that he will build a Trump hotel in Pyongyang. And for that, I will let him keep 10 nukes. Win-win.
Just 10. It's 10. A win for everybody, right?
Yeah, no, but you got to put them on a plane. No rockets.
Yeah, yes, I think after, yes, the, hold on, after yes, the... Oh, sorry.
Greg has something to say.
You're scared.
No, I'm scared because you're a hack when it comes to Trump.
There's no hack.
You are a hack when
what's
it comes
hack?
To Trump.
What's so hack about it?
You're not. You have no opinion about Trump that I haven't heard on late night television 8,325
times. That's not even
times.
True. I don't even have any opinion other than I don't like the dude.
Okay.
As
well,
a person.
Good. But I'm just saying.
All I was going to say is you want him to present it that way. He can't present it that way. He doesn't present things as this is a plan that's in action and we're going to get to it eventually. It has to be done in the moment. Like the wall. That he's posting old footage.
Right.
Look at the wall that's being, it's not, why can't you say, I got the money, I did my emergency, the wall's going to be built, but instead it's going to be presented as, here it is, it's being done right now, it's already done, you didn't even know this was going on.
Well, the good news is, here's the opposition.
I'm the boss. That's how about that?
I also want to say, it's nice of him to go to Vietnam, because he also won a Razzie, I don't know if you know that.
Oh, I know, I see, here it is, I didn't bring that up, because that particular award falls into,
it's, because
you know,
it's,
hey, Greg, you
it's
got
ridiculous.
Got any jokes about how he's orange? Because I ain't heard nothing
that
before.
See, I wouldn't say that. And this isn't even a joke.
I thought he wasn't going to take over. Was it?
Just saying it's nice. You win a big award and you're still going to
win. Why don't you reclaim your show?
Yeah, the Razzies became political, which is, you know, great. Yeah, it's wonderful. They figured out two awards to give him because he shows up in the Michael Moore movie that nobody saw and shows up in at the end, I think, of maybe Black Klansman or something, right?
And that's what they gave him the award. Death of a Nation and Fahrenheit 11/9.
No, that's right. The other one by the...
both great movies.
The conservative... Michael Moore.
Dinesh D'Souza.
Every bit as silly as Michael
Moore. I'm saying is, if he did present it that way, would people really turn against him?
No, I don't think at all.
That's why. That's
matter
all
of fact,
up.
I think he'd just say, look, we're building this much wall. That's the way it is. Look at the economy and get reelected.
You got 10 feet. Shut up. Be happy.
I don't think, until we see other candidates who could beat him, I don't think he even has to worry about it. I think everybody in his base is going to go out and they're going to vote again. No, hell or high water. He's got to worry about the people in Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and those sort of places that put him over the top. All right, next story.
I was just going to say, after the last meeting with Kim Jong-un, where we kind of got overpromised, I thought. Like, they said they were going to deliver all this stuff, denuclearization and stuff, and it never really happened. So.
Because I'm saying that there's no, we're not, we do not agree, the U.S. and North Koreans do not agree on what the definition of denuclearization is. So we're a long way from that, but... It is also true that, you know, the dude was test firing things over Sea of Japan and stuff like that. That's not going on now. But we don't know that they weren't going to go sort of go on to a hiatus with that anyway.
Do you think that there's a little bit of tie-in with what President Trump is trying to do with China as far as tariffs and then working? Because they are really China is their only ally.
Yeah, I know. But China, well, that's not true. Iran is an ally and Russia is an ally.
Okay, but people who could be effectively.
Well, I suppose. I suppose. But I think that the thing with the tariffs, and as a libertarian, I'm basically against tariffs. I think in history, we may look back and go, you know, America and China had to have a reckoning. There had to be this moment where, you know, okay, enough is enough. Mm-hmm. And the tariffs were used as a way to say, look, we're awake. We know what you're doing. And if that doesn't change, then we're not going to, you know, we can't stay in the status quo. We're getting a lot more out of China, I think, probably in this deal. This might be actually a pretty good deal. But with North Korea... You know, I just feel like you should, because Trump says, well, I haven't given him anything. And what he's talking about is we still have every sanction that's been on them the whole time. So Trump's point of view is I meet him, I show him this future that North Korea could have. And meanwhile, until he denuclearizes, you know, we're still going to keep all the sanctions. The one thing on that I think that I would disagree with is you're giving something to someone like Kim Jong-un just by meeting him twice. On the world stage, you're elevating him. And this has always been a little bit of a worry from the establishment diplomat types, which is, okay, if you show one tyrant that they can be elevated to the level of the United States on the world stage by having an effective nuclear program, then don't you just encourage more of the same down the line by other little tiny tyrants? And, oh, this is how I can get the respect that I want on the world stage is get really close to having nuclear weapons. Then I'll get a meeting one-on-one with the President of the United States. Next story.
All right. Talking of weapons, a group of employees calls for an end to Microsoft's $480 million HoloLens military contract.
Oh, this is it HoloLens like, or Holo? This is like augmented reality.
HoloLens.
So you, this is not the, it's not virtual reality. You put on the goggles, you see the world, but then it's augmented with different things that you can find. And obviously Microsoft has this big, thing with the military.
Again, the employees are saying they didn't sign up to build weapons.
Yeah, that's what the employees signed up. They signed up to do whatever the hell they were told
you're
to
getting
do.
Paid, right?
This is the same generation as AOC who were just raised on these college campuses to believe that they and their people power should decide. Because on college campuses, the people at the top will roll over in a second. They're spineless. But I got news for you, kids. When you get into the real world, they're not going to roll over for you every time. Google did. The last time, and that encourages this. Also, you know, this goes to the millennial generation, without a doubt, being the least patriotic generation ever. And then you add the ignorance of their schooling, okay? If Microsoft doesn't help our military, that will help bring peace. Doesn't work that way. Your enemy's Microsoft is helping that country develop that weapon that will be used against you. That's the real world as it was before you were born and as it is going to be after you die. You will have no effect.
Eric Von Hessler. Not exactly what you'd expect to hear before Rush Limbaugh. It's kind of like not knowing your fly is open before you leave the house. The Von Hessler Doctrine. This hour is sponsored by Reliable Heating and Air on WSB.
All righty. How about another story from you? Oh, by the way, I got a correction. It's not Lady Sparkle who used to be with Lady Gaga. So the lady that I found on Facebook with only 800 friends. She's probably doing quite well. It was Lady Starlight.
Yeah.
It was Lady Gaga and Lady Starlight. So,
hey, at least Lady Sparkle's probably got some more followers now because you mentioned it.
I hope I'm helping.
Yeah. I follow that Lady Sparkle.
Not exactly sure who she is or what she does. But
that sparkle.
She's got the sparkle. Yes, next story.
R. Kelly's
English Nick, filling in for Jared Yamamoto.
Yes, R. Kelly turned himself in and he can't get out of jail because he can't make bail.
So he'll appear in court today, I think, sometime in Chicago. Is it 10 counts? Some of them 10 underage.
10 counts of aggravated criminal sex abuse, yeah.
3 or 4 of them are underage. Of course, this cloud has been following R. Kelly. Is R. Kelly the one who does I Believe I Can Fly?
Yes.
That's the only R. Kelly song I'm aware of. But I'm aware of this story over the last 20 years.
How is it taking so long to get to this point?
Well, he won in court back in 2007.
And he's so talented.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. You know, he gets a pass, a little bit of a pass, because everyone loves that song, I Believe I Can Fly. Now, there are... Here's the weird thing. R. Kelly, I mean, there's this much smoke, you just believe. I'd be surprised if he's innocent until proven guilty, but I'd be surprised if there wasn't some fire there. On the other side of it, guess who's the lawyer for a couple of these women? Michael Avenatti, the Stormy Daniels lawyer, and he's saying he has 2 more videotapes that show R. Kelly having sex with underage girls. Now, the only problem is Michael Avenatti has told us that he has things that he's going to share with us that never came true in the past. So we'll have to wait and see how much is there. Interesting, R. Kelly was $1 million bond, so he had to put up $100,000 to get out of jail, and he ain't got it.
10%, yeah.
No, he does not have $100,000.
He spent all of his money on chains and things to keep people in his house.
That's right. He'll have to,
sell that
whole bondage set that he has back at the house.
There's been a lot of birthday parties in that house over the years, too. Like, they don't cheap, those birthday parties.
Oh, no,
for the
not
teenagers.
At all. The man, it's difficult keeping people happy, I suppose. But, remember, he is innocent till proven guilty.
Absolutely.
We can't say that here about Kavanaugh and others, but... Is this that song? This is the only thing I'm familiar with. There's 2 things I'm familiar with R. Kelly. This song and this story. This story has been going on now, it seems like, 20 years. There's some thought in here that somebody is saying that he was grooming an underage child, 14, 15, during the last trial, while it was going on. So we'll find out.
Wow.
I got my flute. I'm teaching myself how to play my homemade wooden flute.
Oh, it's in the right key for this song. That's perfect.
Is it?
Yeah,
I don't know nothing about keys. I just think the flute, it just comes natural to me, you know?
I've never had one lesson.
Can you believe that?
You're the Eddie Van Halen of flute playing. He never had a lesson either, I don't think.
Around the world in a day. I'm already doing Prince material. It is, I only had this in my hands one morning. Thanks again to Sabrina Cupid's father, who loves the show and made us homemade flutes. Let's do this.
It's time for studies, surveys, and polls on the Von Hessler Doctrine.
Woo! All right, you heard the lady, English Nick.
I did.
Filling in for Jared Yamamoto. If you haven't killed him and buried him somewhere.
No. I need him back. I can't work this hard all the time.
I know. You have to go through all these stories, and you have your day job.
You want him back so you don't get 100 pieces of audio the night before the show.
No, I want more of that. I like that. Here you go, Eric. I like that, actually. Tim Andrews overdid himself. He's trying to prove to me that he'd be a better producer than Jared Yamamoto.
Yeah.
And I like that. Unlike Trump, I set my people against each other to compete, right? That's the way it's supposed to be.
But then if Tim got that job, he wouldn't be good at it.
Well,
the producer job, they need hate it.
Because he's not hungry. He's better when he's hungry for something. He's trying to prove something to
I can edit audio all day long and sit in my room and do that, but then I got to deal with people? Nah. Let Jared do it.
All right, so a rather disturbing study by Mattress Advisor is finding there's a big difference.
Hold on, hold on. Is this a study from Mattress Advisor? Because I just want to say, when it comes to studies, Mattress Advisor, that's the one people point to as the
when
best.
When I need mattress advice.
Yeah, you go to Mattress Advisor.
Where
Why wouldn't
would
you?
I go?
They got the numbers. They got the studies.
I'm not going to go to Box Spring Advice.
Those guys are just trying to sell you something. All right, what do they have?
There is a big difference in how long men and women wait to change their sheets, especially after they've had a guest over for the evening.
I mean, kind of a one-night stand
sort of thing.
So on, this is here. This is the Mirror, the Daily Mirror?
The Daily Mirror, that's one of those great newspapers from the UK.
Yeah, is that like is that a tabloid?
Yeah.
Is it kind of like, for us here, is it like National Enquirer or not that far?
More like the New York Post.
Not that low.
Okay. Yeah. So it says, surprisingly, guys are apparently less keen to change their sheets after a one-night stand, and on average wait 18 days compared to 2 days with a woman. Now, if you look deeper into this, these Mattress Advisor numbers, you'll find that men, when they think they're going to get lucky, will change the sheets before they go out. But don't shake your head back and
forth. Why change before? Because that just creates more work. I guess if you're not changing them after, but no. I would think that the dirty sheets going into it are fine because they're just going to get dirty.
No, you're trying to impress the person.
No one knows if they're dirty. No one can tell.
If it's been 18 days, you might.
I just think I went 4 months without changing my sheets.
Do you know how much, just your body itself.
There's the grease, the oil, then the mites.
Yeah. The mites. Yeah, there's the very end of this. They talk about the mites.
You got to watch out for those mites.
Every week we shed half an ounce of skin, and a lot of it happens while you're in bed. Warm and moist environments are also ideal breeding grounds for mites, and the average bed contains about 10 million of them. So you just don't want 20 million.
Yeah,
so
that's too
you
many.
Need to be just sort of
Craig's
changing
got
your
40
sheets.
Million after 4 months.
Well, what is it? There's that. I think it's a legend, but they say that half your mattress's weight over time becomes dead skin and mites.
It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I would like, if I could do it the way that I want to do it, I'd have a new bed every night. Because they really are quite disgusting. And there's things living in there.
Well, you get to that point with your money. You can get a new bed every night.
That's what people want. That's what I'm doing here, Greg. It's a 10-year cash grab so that from 64 to death, new mattress every night.
Do you think that the person that's handling that for you would really just switch between two mattresses constantly?
There would be a security cam.
They'd
and there
be
would
keeping
be,
the money.
There would be documentation. And each mattress would be kept in plastic until the time came to break it open.
Shrink wraps.
Yes.
Can you use one mattress two nights so you flip it? So one night on each side, then you get rid of it.
Because those things living inside
of it. That's wasteful.
Yeah, but they're not making their way through the entire length of the
mattress.
That's
my goal in life is to be wasteful. That's when you know you're successful.
You know that most people get their mattresses in the mail now anyway. They come in a box, they're rolled up, so you just get it in the mail every
day. They won't fit in my mailbox. You don't blow them up.
No, they're real mattresses.
That's the old internet thing.
Tim's right. Old.
Next. So I think that it just goes to show again that when it comes to hygiene.
Men are disgusting.
Yeah, of course. Women are way cleaner than men in all areas.
It's true, except for me.
Except for Autumn, who doesn't wash her hands after she goes to the bathroom. But that's just
every time.
She's cute. She's cute, though.
I'm healthy. It hasn't hurt me yet.
You can overlook that. It's just if you show up at her house and she says, "Hey, I just made stew," you might not want to, chili.
I lick my hands clean before I put my hands in the meatloaf.
The stew gets hot. That's okay. A sandwich you wouldn't want.
You wouldn't want a sandwich. Right, exactly. A stew, you can kind of cook
that
stuff
out. Well, how else are you going to make the mayonnaise stick if you don't lick the bread before you put the mayonnaise on?
Next story, please.
All right. This is actually a study from the University College of London, Eric.
Oh, I think that they're a little bit.
Yeah.
They're not up there with Mattress Advisor, but they're pretty well respected for their studies.
A study of nearly 7,000 older adults shows that
seniors. Am I a senior citizen yet? I'm 54.
I don't think so.
When do you begin? I'm almost there.
Mm-hmm.
About to age out of my
when
own demo. You realize that? I got into radio when I was 24, and all my radio life, including now, we've gone after people 54. So I started when I was 24, 1 year outside the demo. And on May 26th of this year, I will officially age out of the demo.
Gone.
And that's when I become a senior citizen. Yes, Greg.
But now you're the guy selling the products. So it's a weird switch.
What do you mean?
You're no longer being targeted, but you're doing these endorsements, so you're now the one who's outside of the target range selling the products.
Wasn't I? Now I'm outside. That's
the weird thing. You're an authority is the thing. You become right. An authority.
And I, by the way, during the commercial, I want to talk to you about reverse mortgages, because I got a few things I can help you with. They seem like the reverse mortgage commercials that you see on the TV. That's usually the actor, and you think, oh, he'll be dead soon. Because it seems like, except for Henry Winkler, who's been doing them for a while, it just seems like every actor that does the reverse mortgage, it's like the last 1 or 2 years of their lives.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they're off.
Even if you're younger, Alan Rickman.
Oh, yeah, he did them.
I didn't expect that.
Reverse mortgage. Yeah.
Just
he was
death sentence.
Haunted. Haunted by it.
You need money and your family is starving, Mr. Potter.
Here's the thing. If you're a senior and you're having some sexual activity in your life, you're going to be happier.
So if you're 55 plus,
See,
I still haven't been able to, I don't know life. I don't know life from 55 plus. I'm still 54 for a couple more months. Hanging on. So
clinging.
You're saying 55 plus,
mm-hmm.
The more sex you have, the happier you are?
Yeah, this was actually, the average age here was 65 years old.
See, I don't believe in sex in your 60s.
No?
No, it just seems wrong.
Is that a show from HBO?
Sex in Your 60s?
Yeah.
Sex in the 60s.
It's going to be.
I don't know. I think I told my wife years ago when we were in our 20s.
Stop when you're 60.
I was like, I don't know. When you're 60, I'm done.
Yeah, but when
you're... Thank God.
That was weird. See, Autumn, who her husband just, you know, he demands at least twice a month, and she's exhausted. She's exhausted.
That's two times too many.
She's already got what she wants, the kids. Now it's just a matter of, you know, pay the bills, keep the lights on.
I'm reconsidering that.
Wow. Are you guys on hard times? Do we know something here? You guys ready to break up?
No, we love each other. I can't even joke. Yeah, we're the worst.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the old age pensioners said that any kind of sexual activity that they had in the last year made them feel better. You know, so maybe they're doing it twice a year.
Well, if there's, right. I imagine you're not... these guys, somebody else, some other celebrity got somebody pregnant. They're like 77 years old or something. I can't remember what it was last week. It's just insane.
You gotta watch those hips, though.
Yeah, how can you get to 77 and not have heard of condoms? Hey, Mick Jagger, how did you get that age and you never heard
the way
of
they feel,
your
my
birth control?
It's not natural.
Oh, there's going to be all kinds of photos as your son's growing up of what his dad looked like and what his dad did. I mean, it's one thing if you're 50, 52, 53, and you're having a kid. That's just different. And, you know, you could have a younger wife. But when you're in your 70s and you're having kids, the only way to avoid that, absolutely, is just to stop having sex when you're 60. The Von Hessler Doctrine says, stop having sex at 60. That should be the sex limit. They have a speed limit? Sex limit.
Sex limit.
60.
You have that marked
on
your
show.
Yeah.
Sex limit.
Is that marked on your calendar with a big red circle, May 26th, 2024?
No
more sex.
Because my wife's older than I am. So she'll get there first.
So you'll have to have sex with somebody else.
So I'll just say, who's not 60.
Yeah, you're gonna have
then,
to.
No, by then, my whole sex robot plan. I will have an apartment in the city for my sex robot that I will visit from time to time, and it's not really a person. So
you
it's
haven't
not really
been
cheating.
Here for a week.
Yeah.
What's
Eric,
going
where
on?
Where have you been?
I am very lonely.
There is a bug. Oh. There is a bug under a cup.
I'll go back to Roswell if I want the yap, yap, yap.
You're going to get honeydew lists from your sex robot.
Eric, please hang up these curtains. I bought them with your credit card.
Boy, the best laid plans. All right, next.
Another study says that the tooth fairy is getting less generous.
The tooth fairy.
No, yeah.
Tooth
less
fairy.
Generous. I thought it was the other way around.
In the Midwest, kids now receive an average of $2.97 per lost tooth.
Spoiled.
It's down 47 cents.
Spoiled. I only remember getting, I know that I got the tooth fairy thing more than once, but I only have one memory, and it ended early enough that I only have one memory, and it was 1969, and I got a quarter.
Yeah.
So it's up since 69.
We used to get 50p in England, I think.
50p.
50 pence.
Oh, 50p. Yeah.
I like the idea of loose change.
Do you
you said $2.97 as the average.
No, well, the nationwide average is $3.70 per tooth.
Well, I just like the loose change idea of that you wake up as a kid, you lift up the pill, and there's a bunch of pennies and dimes.
Yeah.
There you go, kid.
Yeah. My parents actually put the quarter inside this see-through blue kind of like jewel case.
Yeah, yeah.
A little teeny thing. And I thought it was magical. I don't know what I did with that quarter.
I got an Eisenhower dollar every time.
Well, I guess you guys were rich.
No, it went up a little bit.
Are you lording it over me?
Ah, you poor bastard.
We didn't have much money. You're going to hold it against me?
But Dad could afford a buck.
I could afford a buck. You just got out of prison, for heaven's sakes. I'm lucky I didn't get a leather wallet, which is the craft that he learned in prison. He made everybody leather wallets for years. Merry Christmas, kids. Yeah, it's like, oh, more leather wallets. Great. Great. He learned to work leather in prison. Okay, we get it.
Did he stamp your name in it?
Yeah.
Nice.
You think that's nice?
I think so.
I think I used to have belts as well.
Oh.
Anything in leather. You know, my dad was not a horrible person. He was just a criminal. So when he would go to prison, he'd spend most of his time in hobbies and crafts and then get hired to go to type stuff up for the people in the office and everything. So he'd come out of prison with new crafts each time. And
new skills.
Yeah, we all got tired of the leather stuff pretty quickly. Ah, another wallet. Thanks, Ed. Didn't see this one coming.
Eric Von Hassler. He doesn't tow any party line. Hell, we can't even get him to tow the company line. Eric Von Hassler, 9 to noon on WSB.
Oh, whatever happened to this group? One hit wonders. All right, give me another study, survey, and or poll.
All right, this study finds that most patients don't mind if their doctors have piercings or tattoos.
Well, I was not asked. No, that's part of that.
We know your feelings on tattoos.
Let me just say this. Well, I mean, like, I don't want to put all this together. Trae Young, the Atlanta Hawks. Mm. I went to see Atlanta Hawks on Friday. I love watching the Atlanta Hawks. I really enjoy them. I don't know what it is, but they just can't put it over the top in the fourth quarter. They won yesterday. I believe it was yesterday, the night before Saturday. But I was there on Friday night, and they always play really well. But anyway, that's got nothing to do. I like them. I think they're starting something good, but yeah. I'm not an expert. But I really enjoy watching the Hawks play. They just quite often don't make it happen in the fourth quarter. But Trae Young is a superstar. Look, he's either going to be a superstar here, uh-huh, or he's going to go somewhere else and be a superstar. But this guy's going to be a superstar. And the other thing on top of it that I like is he's an NBA player who doesn't have a bunch of tattoos. Now, he does have a little, like, chevron or something on that I've noticed. I just want to say, Trae Young, don't do it. Trae Young, listen to me. Listen to me. I'm 54 years old. I can give you some advice. You're a young man. Trae Young's interesting because, what is he, 23? He doesn't look like an old man, but you can imagine him as an old man. Like, he's got that look. And I'm hoping that your wisdom is there as well. Rebellion against society now, especially in the NBA, rebellion is not becoming the illustrated man. Rebellion is not having a sleeve of tattoos. So I hope it stays that way. But obviously in the NBA and the NFL and everything else, it doesn't matter. My doctor, I would judge. Now, do you have one little thing? You have one or two tattoos? Fine. You got stuff crawling up your neck? I'm asking for another doctor. Now, maybe that's wrong.
See, most people are just concerned with the job the doctor does. Does he get you
taken care of? It says recklessness.
Or she, sorry.
If you have one of those suicide doctors. Who am I thinking of? Are they called the suicide girls?
Suicide girls, yes.
Yeah.
Is that porn?
Suicide doctors.
It is. Is that porn?
Yes, it is.
I thought I was thinking of something else. I've never been exposed to that at all. Yeah. So, I think that there are certain people in this world. Most of them are not in radio or entertainment in any ways. But there are certain people in this world who their default is extremely sober. Extremely punctual, non-reckless. And these are the people I think should be the doctors and the lawyers of the world. And if I see a whole bunch of tats, I don't want the illustrated doctor. And if I especially see it coming up the neck, that says to me, dude's kind of reckless.
What if your doctor's a big Post Malone fan and he gets it on his face?
Well, then he's not my doctor. He's a guy who works at the place that I go see my doctor. But I don't, you know what? Every once in a while, in this world of enlightenment, somebody has to stand up and say, on this one, I'm not so enlightened. And there's no law you can pass to get inside of my head. I am judging you if you are a doctor with a bunch of tattoos. Don't touch me. All right, the tinkling of those piano keys says to me, hour three of the Von Hassler Doctrine begins right now. And I believe that English Nick has got some more headlines all ready to go. Nope, Don't speak yet. I want to let people know. Because some people tune in. They're big Jared Yamamoto fans. Where's Jared?
So.
Well, Jared is healing after his Dirty 30 birthday party held somewhere in the Tennessee Hills. He'll be back tomorrow. But for now, let's do this.
More headlines for Monday, February 25th.
He's probably curled up in the back of a car somewhere, driving back from the mountains at this point.
Well, I hope he's not driving if he's curled up in the back seat.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. He's in a car.
That's what I'm saying. He's in the back seat.
I would have thrown him in the trunk. At some point, he would have been that useless. Just toss him in the trunk, get him back to Atlanta.
President Trump. President Trump has teased a salute to America on July 4th, a huge gathering in Washington.
I think this is in all caps. Hold the date.
Hold the date.
On the Trump.
Hold the date. It's not like you don't have plans for that day already.
Yes, hold the date. It's a holiday.
What holiday?
July 4th.
America Day. That's what I'm calling it, America Day.
A salute to America is what they're calling it.
We'll be having one of the biggest gatherings in the history of Washington, D.C. But here's the thing, and I'm all for patriotism, but don't they, every year they already have a thing in Washington, D.C. Like the
this beach, is going to be bigger.
For some reason, the Beach Boys are always playing.
Yeah, it's a big concert.
Yeah, a big concert. They have it on PBS.
Yeah.
You watch it. You watch. If you're like me, I like fireworks, but I don't like going to things. So I just watch the fireworks on TV. That's how I'm usually exposed to. You know, when you see like some R&B act from the 1960s you haven't seen in a while.
Yeah.
And then the fireworks, and it's very nice. But I don't know who pays for that.
I got Peter Noon.
Peter Noon. This is going to go against the Beach Boys over
there. Well, you know, the Beach Boys, they're, you know, less patriotic than they used to be. So why not get Peter Noon? I mean, he's pro-Brexit.
Some people like, they get the Temptations from time to time, too, I believe.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Look, we're going to get tanks and missiles and trucks.
No, you're not having all that.
I want to have one of those Kim Jong-un parades.
It says here, Trump said, it could be a very exciting day. That's not much of a sell.
Well, it could be. It could be a boring day. I don't know. Look, if I get the tanks and the missiles.
You're not going to get the tanks.
I want the tanks and the missiles.
Don't you remember last year they said they would break the streets?
Well, we'll build new streets. Look, they need new jobs, right? We need jobs.
Yes.
D.C. needs jobs.
This is your infrastructure spending?
Infrastructure after I destroy it with tanks.
It'll be really a gathering as opposed to a parade, I guess you'd have to say. Perhaps at the Lincoln Memorial. He says, we're looking at sites, thinking about doing something which would become perhaps a tradition. Again, I have to ask the question, don't we already have a D.C. July 4th tradition? Salute to America on July 4th or July 4th weekend, somewhere around that area. But the best line of the story is the last. The Washington, D.C. mayor's office said at the time that it had not received any information from the White House about the event. So you're still mulling it over.
I'm mulling it over, but look, what are they going to say, no? I'm the president. This is my town. I run this town. I run this house.
Hey, let's call July 4th what it is, a salute to America.
That's exactly what it is.
But a bigger one.
I mean, are you going to call off the other one that goes on every year?
Why not do? They're not going to have tanks and missiles.
You're not going to have tanks and missiles.
Look, you don't believe me. I'm going to have tanks.
Will it be two different fireworks shows in D.C.? I mean, that could conflict.
Two? What's wrong with two? You know, a lot of people cram into one little space. Like, oh, I'm going to go watch these fireworks. Okay, bands, whatever. And so we're looking at the water and what, okay. And the mosquitoes are everywhere. We'll do it on the side where there's not a swamp.
It's a shame the Cranberries aren't still together, you know, with their tanks and their bombs and their guns and their missiles.
You can at least have that song.
Well, we'll play it when the tanks go by.
Oh, when the tanks
go rolling by. Oh, when the tanks go rolling by. Oh, how I'd like to be on that missile. When that missile goes flying high.
I like it. I think this is going to be the greatest July 4th ever.
Will there be a hot dog eating competition?
Of course.
That put it over.
Of course.
Yeah.
You already have the hot dog eating competition.
This will be a better
but
one.
It is. Yeah, yeah. You try to overshadow the one on Coney Island.
These are all pork.
Yes.
All right. Next story.
All right. Bernie Sanders has taken an early lead in the New Hampshire Democratic primary. 27% of the vote.
Well, first of all, it doesn't matter at this point what anybody says on anything because it's not really going. Sanders raised a lot of money, though.
Mm.
And $6 million or so in the first 24 or 48 hours after announcing. So that says he's got some juice. And you know what? Why not? I mean, he's the authentic thing, right? He's the real socialist. Mm-hmm. AOC and Cory Booker and Kamala Harris, they're just following his lead. So why not have the real deal there?
Bunch of Johnny-come-latelys.
That's what they are.
And Johnny-come-latelys.
And Janie come lately.
Johnny.
Or Joe. Joe Biden's second with 25%.
Joey come lately. Yeah, Biden's second because people have heard of him.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense. We're so far out. They haven't had one debate. Nobody is really on the record with anything except four or five of them signed on to that stupid Green New Deal, which should make some awesome general election commercials after one of them gets the nomination. Over the weekend, I was watching, you know, one of those Sunday shows, and that D-bag, I shouldn't say that, he's a politician, that guy I don't care for all that much, Adam
that
Schiff.
Gentleman?
Adam Schiff.
Tight face?
Yes. I would say that, to me, I find him to be unctuous,
yes.
This Adam Schiff. And he
that
was
means
asked...
he tastes good?
No, this doesn't mean... delicious.
Oh.
Unctuous means that he's kind of oily. You know, like people think of used car salesmen. Not all of them, but you know, the general idea of used car salesmen as being unctuous. That's the way I see Adam Schiff. I think that he's unctuous. And he was asked a question. Actually, you know what? He bothered me on something else. Now that I think about it, it was that guy, Tom Perez. He's the head of the Democrat Party, right? He was asked, you know, are these candidates going too far to the left and too much on socialism? And his answer was so ridiculous. His answer was, well, that's what the Republicans do. When they can't argue on the facts, they just call you names and say you're this and that. And I was yelling at the TV, AOC calls herself a socialist. She calls herself a Democrat socialist. Bernie Sanders calls it. It's not even an actual member of the Democrat Party. As a matter of fact, they changed the rules. He's got to become a Democrat to run this time. So he calls himself a socialist. How is it the Republicans playing games and calling names? That'd be like, say, so you'd ask me the question, are there too many people named Eric at WSB?
Are there too many people named Eric at WSB?
You see, that's what the competition does. When they can't beat you on the airwaves, mm-hmm. they just call you names. And now your follow-up should be, well, don't you call yourself Eric?
Well, don't you call yourself Eric?
Ah, please, come on, don't play those word games with me. So people are introducing themselves to the public, would like to be your leaders, maybe your next president. They're calling themselves socialist. So it's not a trick or a game for Republicans to
refer to them as
socialist in a negative way. So that's where you get that. I mean, does anybody listen to that kind of stuff anymore? I don't know. A guy like Tom Perez?
No.
Does anybody watch those Sunday shows?
Just old people. I'm old. I watch those shows.
Well, I'll try to back out of it now. You call me an old person.
I might flip it on before the Premiership Soccer on Sunday.
Yeah, and he may be old, but he's the world's oldest teenager.
Yeah.
English Nick. He's 72.
Dick Clark Jr., right?
That's right, mate.
Next story.
All right, Terrence Howard had a complete meltdown on the set of Empire after Jussie Smollett was arrested for allegedly staging his attack.
No.
Terrence wouldn't come out of his trailer.
Terrence
Howard.
He was
so mad.
Great actor.
Great actor.
I don't watch Empire, but I don't watch really anything on TV. Mm-hmm. But Terrence Howard's a great actor. And this is funny because over the weekend I saw a story that said, or that he put out a tweet that said, we still believe in you, Jussie, or something like that. So this surprises me that, according to the TMZ story that you're referring to, Terrence Howard never believed it at all.
No.
And had confronted him before, had been lied to before, and then found it highly uncomfortable. They had shouting matches. And I think they're just removing this guy from future Empire episodes.
Absolutely.
There might be a couple that still come in line, but I think they've basically just written him out. What do you know about this, Greg Ross?
Well, Terrence Howard, I read, refused to come out of his trailer on one of the production days. So, yes, they've removed Jussie from set completely just to get Terrence out.
We need Terrence out of his trailer. But the weird thing is, over the weekend, I saw a report that he had been tweeting
in support.
His support of
they probably made him.
Jussie Smollett. Well, not after he was charged. Empire and Fox had to walk a fine line until he was charged. Because if he hadn't been charged and it had turned out not to be a hoax, he could have turned around and sued them for anything negative that they would have said about him along the way. As soon as he had to turn himself in, and the word out of Fox and the Empire set started to change.
Now those two brothers are saying that the 35...
The two Nigerian brothers?
Yes.
Two wild and crazy guys?
They're saying now that the money, or their lawyer is saying that the $3,500 that went to them was for personal training, not to buy the stuff, so...
But they're
changing their tune now.
They can change their tune all they want, but when it comes to a jury, the concept of coincidence these two guys are on security cam video purchasing the exact items right. that were used during the
weird.
Yeah, what a coincidence!
So weird that yeah. would be what's used in yeah. the crime.
What a coincidence that weird. These guys happened to buy red hats and ski masks, and he paid them $3,500 in the check. This is gonna all be. Hey, look, the man is innocent until proven guilty. I just don't think it's gonna be a very difficult case to prove. Next story.
All right. USA Today searched old yearbooks for blackface photos.
Yearbooks?
Yeah, yearbooks. Yearbooks.
My books?
Yearbooks. Man. And it found one published
by... Is that a hate crime? In a real way, that's kind of a hate crime. I'm making fun of you for your
accent. Yeah.
I am. Yeah. Just don't call HR.
I know. You're just joking.
I need this money, English Nick. Don't.
So they went through the yearbooks following the whole scandal with Governor Ralph Northam in Virginia.
Yeah, so this is USA Today yeah. decided they would scan all yeah. of these yearbooks. Did they find any?
They find a bunch, and they found one that was published by its editor back in the day.
So the editor of USA Today.
Nicole Carroll.
Yeah, so she decides.
When she was 21
this.
Years old.
She decides this will be good for USA Today
yeah.
because this whole blackface thing in yearbooks, it's so big. She forgot it was America. It was big 2 weeks ago. Nobody's talking about Virginia. It's like they fell off the world.
Yep.
It's like 2 weeks ago, that was the most of, three people in a row. Who's going to be governor? It's like it just completely went away. But she decided that USA Today, we're just going to scan all the yearbooks
in
and
depth.
we'll find out if anybody. And then what they found out is that editor at USA Today, when she was 21 years old, she edited the 88 to 89 yearbook from Arizona State University, and apparently there was, and this one was pretty rough, actually. It was you know, of course, fraternity Halloween.
Yeah, there
party.
Was a shirtless man with boxing gloves over his shoulders, dressed as Mike Tyson.
And the other student wearing a wig and bikini top was Robin Givens.
Ugh.
So not only do you have blackface, but you have making jokes about rape.
Yeah.
So I've got an idea. How about if we just don't look at the old yearbooks? See, I got around all of this. First of all, I've never appeared in blackface. I've never been with anybody who appeared in blackface. But I knew the future. So I just quit high school when I was 15 years old. There are no yearbooks to follow me around.
The Von Hessler Doctrine.
The good news is, no matter how crazy the world gets, more Georgians are laughing and smiling. The bad news is, there are a lot of yellow teeth out there. Eric Von Hessler. This hour sponsored by Hoffman Financial on WSB.
All I said, when we were doing studies, surveys, polls, and whatever else,
yeah.
is that if my doctor had tattoos on his neck, then he wouldn't be my doctor very long. I would judge them.
Mm.
And a friend of the show, Peter Moyland, got in touch with us, right?
Save the tattoo talk, Eric. Save that tattoo talk.
I love Peter Moyland. He's a good fan, good friend of the show.
He said good day.
And a great pitcher, Braves, former Braves relief pitcher.
Also a lot of tattoos.
And I also, I guess I got down on the NBA people. But I just feel like now it's not rebellion, that's all. I love Peter Moyland. And as far as being in entertainment, it's fine. But if you're my doctor and you walk in with neck tattoos, I'm going somewhere else. I'm just being honest. I know maybe I'm wrong and maybe I should have an open mind. But I just think of guys who get tattoos, a lot of tattoos, are the same kind of guys who like just jump off of cliffs into water. You know, maybe it's great.
It's thrilling.
But somewhat reckless. But what I want from my doctor is I want the most boring human being. I want the guy who just hardly ever drinks, never does drugs, never jumps off cliffs. Just very, very
but
just
you're saying the person
boring.
Who has tattoos I was about does to say drugs? This.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm a lot of people who don't have tattoos. And athletes, for the most part, can't do drugs.
Question for you. You're on your deathbed, and there's one doctor, one surgeon who can save you, and he's tattooed from head to foot. Do you have him do the surgery?
It's night-night life. I'm out of here.
You're out?
No. Of course. If there was one guy. I mean, that's a stupid thing, you know?
Yeah,
if
he's
I was
like, Mr. Hessler, I'm here to save your life. Let me see your neck.
Yes. I know you're hiding something.
Your wife's in the other room. Wear a sweater all the way up to your neck so he can't see
you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one way to get around it. If you're a doctor with neck tattoos and you want Eric Von Hessler's business, you
covered
just wear a turtleneck all the time. Don't tell me about it.
Sweating.
I won't see it.
Oh.
I trust you for some reason because you don't have tattoos, but the sweating concerns me.
Peter Moylan, let me just say, I have many friends with tattoos. Alan Hunt, who flies this
yeah, be careful when they're talking about tattoos.
I know a lot of good people with tattoos. I just feel like in the NBA, it's just become a copycat thing. When I was growing up, you would go to like at carnivals, they would have what they call the Illustrated Man.
Yes.
It was like a big deal that somebody had tattoos all over their body. Now it's just, you know, somebody who's waiting on tables or something where you go to eat. It's no big deal anymore. And what they've done is they've put out good people out of work. The Illustrated Man. Who cares anymore? All you gotta do is just watch an NBA game. LeBron, take off your shirt. Illustrated Man. All right, now, what were you telling me off air that this would have been George Harrison's what birthday?
76th birthday. He was born this day, 1943.
Well, I love George Harrison, obviously. But I think it's weird after people die that we think, well, you know, he would have been. What is that good for?
Well,
you know, if he wasn't dead, he would be, he'd be 83 now.
Sometimes you think of younger, like Kurt Cobain, for instance. How would he have been as a 50-year-old man right now? I mean, it's interesting to think about that.
Yes, yes, but he's not.
It's so just, China.
You don't have birthdays after you die. Am I wrong?
It's to gauge the passage of time in your own life.
That's what it is. Yeah. Now you, oh my goodness, I can't believe that much time has gone by since he died. It's all about us. Because in reality, Albert Einstein would have been 142. No, well, he wasn't.
He didn't make it that far.
Gone but not forgotten.
It's just funny the way that we throw that on there as a way. I guess, and also, you know, if you're at a classic rock station, perhaps running maybe you're going to have a whole block.
Got a George Harrison rock block at noon.
Based on the fact that this today would be.
Would have
so
been
this is
birthday.
Really about capitalism, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It doesn't really
Let's
show any
something.
Caring whatsoever for the great George Harrison. You're just trying to get people to choose which songs.
I like them to listen.
By the way, which songs? Let's just pretend that they get to vote. We'll decide which George Harrison songs.
All right.
What do you do? You throw five out there and then people vote?
It's
and you
five
do three.
Or six. One of them, I know, While My Guitar Gently Weeps is in there.
Ah, that's in. That's not
The one we talked about earlier.
What?
The one that you use a lot on this show. We talked about that earlier.
You're talking about What is Life.
What is Life, yeah.
What about the one, the Give Me Love, Give Me Peace on Earth? No?
I don't think that one's on the list today.
Oh, who cares about it? Just pretend.
What about All Good Things Must Pass?
No, that's not. No, that's way. That's too deep. That's too album deep.
And it's called All Things Must Pass.
That's
how about,
I got my mind set on you. That was pretty,
that one.
Yeah, that's on there. And also there's a Traveling Wilburys song in the list.
See, all these things are true. But the fact that today's his birthday is not true. Once you're gone, your birthdays go with you.
But he was born on this day.
He was born on this day. But it's just, people, he would have been. No, he's not. There's something weird about that. Also, before we get to Dr. Extra, I want to make sure we go over this. So where did this happen last night? So Ja Rule, who is Ja Rule?
He's a rapper.
Okay.
And he was quite popular from about 1999 to 2005.
Okay, so they had 90s night.
Yes.
With the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah. And it was, I don't know if it was last night, but it was over the weekend.
At halftime, Ja Rule on 90s night. Now, here's the thing. I don't know why this went so poorly. It's hard to tell. I know what went on around this sound. But no one in the crowd would get excited about Ja Rule being there. And I guess before he was done singing, the Greek freak, Giannis, came out and started shooting baskets at his end of the court while Ja Rule was still doing his little halftime concert. And I don't know, is there a story behind this?
Ja Rule was involved with the Fire Festival debacle.
Okay, the thing that's on Netflix and Hulu.
And Hulu, yeah. So, I mean, it could have something to do with that.
Okay. Now, because these people, well, they must all have Netflix at the Milwaukee
Bucks. I'm sure they all do.
And I mean, I have it too, but I haven't
Everybody has it.
I haven't watched these films yet. So he tried to get everybody involved. Now, you can't really tell from this audio, but apparently no one in the audience responds to him.
Are we ready?
Crickets.
And then, yeah, then he goes.
I guess not.
good man. That's a good response.
I feel bad. I don't know, but I haven't watched the Fyre Festival documentaries. Does he really?
Yeah.
Does he come off as somebody who got in over his head, or does he come off as a bad guy? Has anybody watched
these?
He
comes off as like a D-bag.
Yeah?
Yeah.
A jerk.
Yes, a jerk.
Was he one of the organizers who made money from that thing?
I don't know if he... Well, nobody made money.
I don't think, in the end, nobody made money because after once the suing started, I don't think there was any
the
money.
The food they had there, bologna and cheese.
Oh, no. People remember, this was a festival that was really for high-enders, like influencers and all this. And people forget... They had to be evacuated out.
Yes.
You know, they got there. There weren't enough peanut butter sandwiches and water, and they actually had to be evacuated out.
There weren't enough beds.
There was nothing.
No shelter. Yeah.
It was like AOC's Green New Deal. You know, hey, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. When it gets to the details, it'll work itself out. So I guess that's maybe that's the reason that he
was involved,
responded that
he
way.
He was involved in the fire festival as much as the fun part was there.
Right.
And then the rest. And then, but, you know,
but he was one of
a lot
partners.
Of proclamations, but he was a direct partner.
Yeah. Mm. So I guess they don't like him in Milwaukee. Maybe Giannis went to the fire festival, the Greek freak. You know what I'm talking about, Giannis?
No, I don't.
You don't?
I don't follow NBA.
What? Just, why? Okay, I don't want to get into it. Let's do this.
Ladies and gentlemen.
We give you the stories, WTFs, and outrages we just couldn't miss.
There's no nefarious
it's the Doctrine Extra on the Von Hessler Doctrine.
Doesn't follow the NBA.
I watch football.
That's all right. Milwaukee Bucks have Giannis. I don't remember his last name.
I don't think he could pronounce his last name.
Yeah. But people just call him the Greek freak. And, you know, he arguably is the best player in basketball.
I don't like Greek
right now.
People.
Yeah. Everybody knows that about Tim.
All right. Send your cards and letters to Pete Spriggs, care of WSB Radio. All right. What do you got for me?
All right. Vice President Mike Pence plans to have his first meeting with Venezuela's Juan Guaido in Colombia on Monday following that violence over
there. Hello, Juan.
I was watching some of this on my television.
The TV?
Yeah. Not just glancing out the window.
Yeah.
I can't see that far all the way to Colombia.
Well, the TV is your real window into the world.
My
right?
window into the Colombian-Venezuela border is not my window, not my terrace. It's my television. And it was kind of confusing. I'm surprised that this guy Guaido, because there's still a lot of these celebrities who just can't let go of it and realize that this Maduro is not only a dictator, but a bad one. Like Hugo Chavez, there's a lot of reasons to hate him. But he knew to keep people fed and happy. And Maduro does not get this done. And, you know, they need regime change there. We're not calling for that. It turns out in their own constitution, this guy Guaido can be called the president based on what's going on. And he is the interim president. But I'm surprised that more celebrity types and leftists in this country won't get behind this guy Guaido, because he really, I don't know anything about him, and I don't know how effective he would be as a leader, but out with the people, he really has that sort of Robert Kennedy, Barack Obama kind of thing going on. And he's young, electric, and, you know, I guess that the left and the celebrities in this country are so wedded to that Sean Penn love of Hugo Chavez. Mm-hmm. They can't let it go. But the guy looked pretty historic. You know, he was basically what's happened is we've put all kinds of aid at, we've sent all kinds of aid to Venezuela. Maduro won't let it in. So it's sitting in Colombia. And there was a big deal where Guaido kind of got up on a truck and they were going to take this aid into Venezuela, but it got out of hand. And a couple people died.
Yep.
And people on the Colombian side were losing their minds as well. So the Colombian government had to get involved. But as I came away from Saturday, I was like, you look at this guy Guaido. If he was an American, if he was a Democrat candidate for president, all of these celebrities and leftists would be in love with him because he's got that thing. You
can just see it from a picture of him.
Yeah. He's got that Robert Kennedy thing. Like Robert Kennedy would have been a horrible president. But he was a great campaigner.
You know, Bernie came out with a tweet over the weekend saying that he supports the new guy, not Maduro.
Right, right.
And he's calling for Maduro to step down. And he got a lot of flame you know, his own party.
Of course, because, oh my goodness, and that would mean that Bernie agrees with Trump. That's what has to inform your policy decisions now. You can't be for anything that Trump would also be for. You know, so I guess you have to come out against clean water. If Trump wants clean water somewhere, you have to.
I'm all in favor of the Green New Deal. Let's get it going.
I'll sign it.
I don't know. I don't know why it's so difficult for Democrats to realize what they need. You've got an awful lot of people who don't like the president right now. But you, if you're going to run socialist against him, he's going to win again. The answer is, and it's hard to say this now, especially for young people, when I say find another Bill Clinton. I'm not talking about the Bill Clinton we know now.
I'm still here.
Yeah. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about 1992. And the way that he came in as kind of a centrist, somebody who wasn't rejecting everything. One of the first times I saw Bill Clinton in an interview in 92, and he had just announced he's running. And the person who was interviewing him mentioned a couple of things that he agreed with George H.W. Bush, the president at the time. There's a couple of things that they agreed on. And Clinton said, just because President Bush wears pants doesn't mean I have to wear a dress. Interesting that a dress came back to haunt him later. But I thought, you know, that's a pretty sensible way to go about it. You don't have to disagree with it. But you've got people now who are so invested in the hashtag resistance that they don't care if a country starves. They don't care. The most important thing in the world is to disagree with and hate the current president. And that becomes, that's if there's any... It was a couple reasons that Trump could win again. One, the economy, and if he gets something done with China. But mostly, he can win again because the opposition is too far socialist. It shouldn't be difficult. If you're a leftist, if you're having difficulty wanting Maduro out of there, look in the mirror, check your politics. There's something wrong with you. Or admit, look in the mirror and admit to yourself that you do not give a damn about the people of Venezuela because you'd rather see them starve than agree with the current president that you hate because that might legitimize him. So, you know what? If a few people have to starve in for the greater goal, that's what
it's
it ends up being.
Not as important as getting rid of Donald Trump because he's just the worst.
So, you know, it's amazing how pitiful the Democrat Party is right now. How often do you get to, okay, we're going to run against the president, and you start off with like 42% of the country just absolutely despising the current president, and you still can't figure out a way to get a coalition together that can beat him. Now it's early, and maybe someone will come along, maybe Hickenlooper out of Colorado or something.
Or Andrew Yang or Wang.
Andrew Yang?
Yeah.
Is it Yang or Wang? That guy's going nowhere. What's his whole thing? He's got his whole thing's about artificial intelligence.
Yeah, tech and AI, and he's really smart, so he won't get it.
No, he won't get it, but he could be maybe in the administration or something. So that's the whole thing. You know, it's really kind of weird, because if that guy Guado was running for president as a Democrat, all these people who won't speak out against Maduro in America would be in love with this guy. Now, that being said, I have no idea how effective he would be as president. And he's only calling himself interim president. And once Maduro leaves, they're going to have elections. I mean, obviously, he'll run again. He'll be a favorite. But, you know. But I thought he looked historical over the weekend when I was watching him. You know, jumping up on a truck full of supplies and then it moved a little bit, and then things got really bad. He jumped off, just as I would have. What I'm saying is this guy's a coward.
Eric Von Hassler. Find the Von Hassler Doctrine podcast later today on the WSB Radio app. Brought to you by Mr. Mr. Mosquito Control, MRMR.biz. Say goodbye to mosquitoes.
Bye, Alan.
Hello, yard. This is the Von Hassler Doctrine on WSB.
All right, here's our plan. We're going to go over and do the podcast 30. If people would like to join us, how's it looking, Shaney? We'll be up and running soon, right?
Yeah, in a minute.
Oh, thumbs up there. All right, Shaney B. working on it because Jared Yamamoto is still sleeping off his 30th birthday. So you can join us in a couple of minutes over on the official Von Hassler Doctrine Facebook page. And later on, we'll have our, we'll take the radio show and the podcast 30, put it into one big podcast, put it up there. You can find it on iTunes, Stitcher, all of those things.
It's magic.
It is magic. Herman Cain's Pure Cain Perspective is next. And am I supposed to be? There it is. I thought I was speaking of, I felt lonely. I felt lonely without the music. It's all right. Herman Cain's Pure Cain Perspective is up next. That'll be followed by the expanded new news with just Sabrina Cupid. And I want to thank her father once again for making us homemade flutes. That's awesome. We're going to come back, do this again tomorrow morning. You're all invited, but until then, get off my lawn. Well, here we are again. Podcast 30 time. I'm Eric. I'm still here. Tim's still here. English Nick, just say hello and goodbye, like the Beatles.
I say hello.
And then, I say goodbye.
Yeah, I got to go deal with George Harrison's Rock Block.
Get out of here.
It's been a pleasure.
Get out, get out.
Thank you very much
Have
for filling in.
Great
for the
podcast.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for filling in for the drunken Jared Yamamoto Friday and Monday. I appreciate it.
See you guys.
Bye-bye.
And Greg Russ is still here. And Autumn Fisher is still here along
here.
With us. Yeah.
I'm wearing lipstick.
What color?
It's called Euro Trash.
Oh, oh man, boy. We can't see it. We don't have you. We don't have you. We just put up like the Von Hessler Doctrine still behind me. There it is. Good job, Shaney B. Thank you very much. Shaney B rescued us.
Thank you, Shaney B.
There's nothing special about that color. Autumn, I looked it up. No. Euro Trash. It just looks like a normal reddish lipstick.
First of all, so I should say the reason Autumn put this on because she thought she'd be on the screen and she wanted to impress people.
Well, it looks better on camera.
Yeah.
Like it looks weird in person. It looks like, whoa, why are you wearing lipstick?
A lot of the webcam girls use that.
Really?
Yeah, color.
Is that what you've heard?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How do you know that?
Because I know.
Do you ask them?
I've been told. No,
do you pay tokens to talk to them privately?
No, I don't do that anymore.
Get their Skype accounts?
I have done that. No, they didn't have Skype when I did it.
When they did a Reddit Ask Us Anything?
Yeah.
What color is your lips?
Okay. We get it.
Be my boyfriend.
Be a creep.
What I want to know is, though, how – because I've never been involved in that sort of thing. Back when you were not a married man.
Yeah.
And you would take part in these things. And
sure.
Skype, whatever it was. Is it Skype?
Or no, it was a website called My Free Cams, and what you right. do is you go in and you buy, you use cash and you buy a bunch of their tokens and you tip them with their tokens.
They accept cash and your soul?
They don't take your soul.
No?
Your soul is,
I thought that seems to me that you would lose your soul.
Well, why would the soulless need your soul? They don't, nobody, oh. there's no souls
it's
involved.
A no soul
it's a no
zone.
Soul
their
zone.
Soul was taken many years before. Yeah.
As was yours.
Yes.
So you could both get involved in the no soul vote.
Yeah, they wouldn't know what to do with the soul. Also, yeah. though, you can be the boyfriend of one of them for a day for probably like 20,000 tokens, right? Just a very low price of 20,000 tokens.
Or you can
tokens.
Buy them a device and have it mailed to their house, and then they can go on Twitter and talk about it, and then you get brought up on the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that happened to me.
Did it happen to you?
What did you buy?
I got to get into this. You know, I'm not beating up on you here, but
I know
I'm
you're not. I'm not embarrassed to talk
I'm
about it now.
I'm genuinely curious. Like, what is it that makes you
ago.
Go buy something? You bought it online, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And then you
from
send
her Amazon
it,
wish list.
And then you send it to her.
Uh-huh.
And how do you not – do you feel good about yourself? Do you – how do you feel? This is a person you're never going to meet. You're never going to make love to.
Yeah, that's true.
Did I you mean, get to text her?
Huh? Yeah, we talked on the phone quite a bit.
Really?
Go. Uh-huh.
So you're paying somebody to talk on the phone?
No, I didn't pay for that. She asked me for my number, and then she –
well, she
talking.
Knew that you were somebody who would go to the wish list.
Yeah.
This is wish list privileges.
And then we had her on TRG.
Really?
Yeah, because Seabass busted me for doing it.
Oh, that was that one?
Yeah.
I remember that.
So that's, we're talking 2010.
You were given like roses and stuff.
No,
it's not. No,
like
it's not roses?
No.
No, okay.
No, it makes, it's awesome.
It's made by Hitachi.
Oh, here she is.
Oh, my God. That got a little too much.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it was a Hitachi wand.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It looks like a microphone.
She'd never had one before?
Hey,
I think
guys,
she already had one. She wanted one for her mother.
Hey, guys. It's Crystal.
That's nice.
Hey, Crystal.
Hey, I just wanted to come on quick and just give a big thanks to Tim Andrews. He sent this awesome thing to me. It's really great. Oh, my God. Listen to that. Oh,
hold on, Crystal. You're not supposed to reveal his name. What's his screen name?
That you're not going to find.
She's just
because you can search for the archives.
I was hoping. I tried.
She's lost in ecstasy thanks to
Tim
you.
Tim 69.
No, that wasn't it.
Tim, upstate New York.
Tim's not involved in the game at all.
How much were those tokens?
You know what?
I don't remember.
I'll bet you he gets like real clever. Like it's Mitt, not Tim.
Oh no.
No one will. It's Tim backward. No one will ever figure that one out.
No one will ever know it's Mitt Tandrews.
Yeah. You'll need
Mitt Tandrews.
Mitt Sandram.
What are you running to do this?
An electric mixer.
Dustbuster.
Yeah, what do you have actually? What are you actually using?
You want to pull back the curtain?
I
it's
do.
My Philips Sonicare.
Oh, is that your toothbrush?
It's my toothbrush.
Oh, okay.
You need to get Flip.
It's oh Quip.
God. Oh, Quip.
Oh, my God. It's so sunny outside today.
Okay. We'll add that to the weather girl.
You know, it doesn't surprise me that the podcast has started out. I got to tell you, man.
We're past this now?
I didn't. No, I can ask more questions.
Okay. Yeah.
Be ready.
I'm always ready.
I just want to know, how did you feel inside?
Like, oh, it didn't bother me at all.
It didn't? Like, when did you think, oh, she's going to wake up tomorrow and she'll have this wand.
When
she'll
be
happy. She'll be my friend. And we'll get to know each other really, not like the other guys.
No, I would have been willing at the time to fly her up. But the thing is... I had given
up. You're in the city of Atlanta. You can't just go to a bar and meet somebody.
We can zero in on this flyer up. So obviously south of Atlanta.
Oh, yeah, she's in Florida.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
At the time, I had given up. I just said, I'm never going to have a relationship. I'm just going to do what I want. I'm going to be disgusting, boorish jerk.
Yeah, that's what people go through when they sort of try – before they actually reform, they make a decision that, hey, this is just who I am. You know, people are like, that's right. I'm an alcoholic.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? That's just me.
That declaration doesn't help your liver.
No.
You still end up in the same situation.
Well,
so
I went through that phase, and then around 2013, I started seeing, well, this is – you're wasting money. This is not rewarding.
How much
this
money
is dumb.
Do you think overall?
On that? Just that website?
No, I don't know. Just
the website. My free camps.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe like $500-$600.
I was thinking thousands. That's not that much.
But maybe over paying for that service in any of its forms, how much?
Yeah, not just that website. In your whole life.
In my whole life?
Yeah.
Since the internet.
Oh, God.
I mean, unless something started from the back of magazines.
Since you started dabbling.
Well, the Sears catalog was free.
Well, my free cams, the word free is right in there. Well, you're telling me you dropped $800.
You can go view it for free.
Yeah, but if you want a private chat and talk to them and have them hear you and vice versa.
I can't wait till you guys talk to me privately.
It's always their birthdays.
Yeah.
And every single day,
hey guys,
it's a girl's
just
birthday.
George
Harrison.
To pop on real quick.
George Harrison, I'd like a free show, please.
It's my 19-year-old birthday.
Oh,
how old
are
you?
That's fantastic.
65.
Yeah, perpetually 19.
You like older men?
Weren't you 19 6 years ago?
You're so cute.
Yeah, they do have that. Some of them, you know, when they don't have the... Now, because of, I would assume, because of Snapchat filters, you can't tell how old anyone is.
A Snapchat filter can make you look younger?
Well, you just
blurs
your face.
Oh, blurs it. Okay.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, probably in the thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
And this made you feel good inside?
No, it makes you feel good in the moment, and then the emptiness creeps in.
He's exercising his oats.
Okay, but this is what I really want to know. My curiosity is, there's something, you know, you're not spending this money for nothing. So there is some thrill that she's on the phone talking to you.
Yeah.
And like, do you go straight for the sex thing, or are you like, hey, did you see that
now we talked
baseball
about Disney
game?
World for a while. Now, this particular model was hired to be something in Hollywood, so she was talking about that. And so then I watched that show.
And she was on there?
Mm-hmm.
That's nice. That's exciting. I know her. I've talked to her. I've bought her.
I'm not going to say who it is.
Yeah.
Because I'm past all that. I don't mind talking about it, but I don't want to dig
into it. Did you ever miss her?
No.
I was on an episode of Big Bang.
Wasn't even that
the one
good.
On TV? No, she's probably on like some CW show or something.
No, Judge Judy.
Oh,
whoa!
By the way, that's where all the performance artists go. These
I know,
days.
Yeah.
That's all
my
crap.
Landlord totally ripped me.
Or it could have been that other judge. There's like seven judge shows when this was on.
Joe
judge
Brown.
Janine.
I think it was Joe Brown.
Judge Joe Brown. You don't mess with Judge Joe Brown.
Oh, he was now. So. I mean, authoritative and hot.
So then you go through a couple years of being embarrassed and regret, and obviously now, because I'm talking about it, I don't care, because I'm happy and I don't have those kind of distractions.
But I mean, when you were spending the money, there was a thrill, and you felt good.
Yeah, I had the
money. Like when she was on the phone with you the whole time, were you happy when she was on the phone with
you? I wanted to get to the thing
so
right
it
before
was,
you hang up.
So it was sex talk.
Yeah, well, not talk. That it was like, hey, how you doing?
And
it's
kind of like,
are you ready for me to get naked now?
Okay, so it's just phone chat.
Real embarrassing, yeah. Not now.
Do you know
what
a J-O-I is?
Okay, no.
Hey, come on.
That?
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, you don't want to figure that out.
I can figure that just from the letters alone.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Ask me what my favorite dessert is.
What's your favorite dessert?
I think I'm afraid to say it.
Yeah. Eric's going to get mad at you.
Creme brulee.
I got to say this. I don't think I'm any better than anybody, but I think I'm just easily embarrassed, like intrinsically. If I was on the phone.
Let's be, like, you be on the phone. I think Greg would be like, Crystal. Okay.
Hey, Crystal.
Hi. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Oh my God. I'm so ready.
Oh, you know what? I realize now this is just I just feel stupid. Why don't we just, you know what? You keep the whatever, the money and.
Don't feel stupid. I'm wearing a t-shirt and tiny little.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, sure. I just feel dumb. This is how this call will go.
What's that? Are you wearing your socks? Let me help it. I'll make you more comfortable.
Well, you can't because you're.
Oh,
like,
my God, the bills, right? Like crazy.
This is the
will
way.
Will they ever win again? Now you've got me interested. No, really, this Josh Allen, I think he might be something.
See, she's good. Yeah. She made you comfortable.
That's right, yeah.
So that's how they bring
you
in.
Can't be talking about the Buffalo Bills. I'll talk to anybody.
Mine would be such an over-explanation up front.
Yeah.
It's like, I just want you to know that I'm not like one of the other guys that you probably normally talk to, and I'm only doing this because, you know, I looked at you, I like you. I'm not really going after what you're doing for a living, but I think it's very important that you know that I respect women, and the only reason I'm here is...
Yeah, I'm going to have to go. I'll refund your PayPal.
No, they don't take PayPal. They just keep it.
And they wouldn't refund it either.
Okay, it looks like you have a bad connection.
How do you pay for these things?
You buy the tokens.
You buy the tokens through the
And somehow
service.
That's you and they separated it. From your name?
Yeah, it's like, never mind. I was going to say, never mind.
It's like what? Can you put it in a... adult, but not ridiculous.
You can only use it on their site, but it's a cyber currency that you buy from them.
Okay.
Right, so it doesn't say, like, Crystal, whatever. It just says that website, I assume.
Yeah.
And doesn't say your
name.
It says,
HLM Properties,
Well, they keep probably 60% of it, too.
Yeah, and you don't see...
Because you buy it from them, and then you give the tokens.
Right.
And I'm sure that the company behind MyFreeCamps keeps a high percentage.
Oh, hell yeah, they do.
Better. They provide the platform.
That's why you smart girls go to Chatterbait.
Don't some people run just a video that was pre-recorded and hope that idiots tip tokens?
I imagine so. Boy, but you'd be dumb to do that.
You'd be really dumb.
I'd be able to suss it out.
Gotta be an idiot to do something like that.
Fall for that. In Chatterbait, you can watch guys and trans and couples.
Yeah.
This doesn't sound like something from years ago. I'm sorry.
It is years ago. These things have been around. You'd be surprised how long. I thought about it the other day. How long... Internet pornography's been around. 1999 is when it started getting good.
When?
Or fast.
Good.
Well, you know what I mean. Like, you're not going to sit there
and
wait.
You needed the Ethernet at that point.
It was just
DSL.
It was just fat people before then?
No.
It was that you were waiting line by line for some still picture, and you don't even know if it's going to be
good.
Well,
you know, delayed gratification is worth it, you know.
Oh, yeah. There's that Jenna Jameson picture I just could have. By the time it downloaded, I could have driven to the adult bookstore and bought a pen out.
Line by line. Just slow loading.
Welcome. You've got mail.
Like a dot printer.
Welcome. You're a perv.
Yeah.
Put your pants on.
But before then, I didn't get my first computer until late 1998. But before then, people I knew had computers were on these bulletin boards.
Yeah, I know.
And that was like internet stuff.
We were in 11th grade. My friend had a... He got the iMac, not the iMac. He got the Macintosh, you know.
The little thing you could carry around with you? That thing?
No, it was a box.
It's a little box,
yeah. And we were on CompuServe in these rooms, these chat rooms. And this is 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one room we're talking, you know, sex. You know, when you're that age, you're like, let's go there and make fun of people, whatever. And there was a creepy dude in there. How old are you? And we didn't know. We put like 15. Like, do you guys want to talk on the phone? No. We shut it off.
Okay.
Because we were scared.
Okay. But years later.
But it was a guy.
Well, had it been a gal, you would have given the number then when you were 15 years old.
Well, yeah.
Age, sex, location.
Yeah, call my mom's at work.
Yeah.
You know, Chris Hansen came back with a different form of To Catch a Predator.
Is he dead?
On investigation TV. I don't think he's
Is
dead.
Is he dead or
he's
broke?
He's in a lot of trouble.
He said, money. But you look him up while he tells me the story. Because something, you tell me the story. And
well, that is the story. Remember the show that was part of Dateline, To Catch a Predator, big in the mid-aughts?
Yeah.
And he brought
every
it
one
back.
Of them, every one of them walked, by
yeah,
the way.
Because, you know? Yeah.
It's
except
a setup.
For the guy
it's
that killed
sting.
Himself.
Well, the judge. No. It was a judge who shot himself, right?
Well, no. You can be duly embarrassed by it. But legally, I don't know if every one of them walked, but most of them did because the show was hooked up with law enforcement and they worked the sting together.
Well, the first season I don't think was hooked up with law enforcement. And there was a lot of backlash because of that.
Right.
People watching were angry because like, all right, you're free to go. And the people who actually would walk, they were shamed on TV, but they weren't arrested.
Right.
So then they got law enforcement involved.
But then later on in the trials, they were let go because you can't work. Like this thing with Robert Kraft, the reason that some of this will probably stick is because in an undercover way, it seems to me an undercover cop went in there as a client, and while people weren't looking because he's good at this, he put a camera in there, and that means that the place of business was not involved. Therefore, that's admissible.
Oh, he didn't lure the people in either. I think that was the big thing because there was also that organization that they worked with
where
people would reach out. Hey, what's going on tonight? And they get the guys are still creepy.
Of course they are.
But so he relaunched it like on Investigation TV or something.
He started a Kickstarter and he kept the money.
Oh, is that
and
what
he got evicted from his apartment?
Yeah, he's broke.
And he's
or
bouncing
something.
Checks all over New York City.
Yeah,
it's a shame.
I have a seat right there.
Yeah, I made some fresh cookies and some lemonade.
You brought?
I was just wanting to shave
Zima.
I never watched that show.
I saw that one. I just wanted to shave you. He had razors in a bag.
I just wanted to shave. He was going to do a whole thing.
Yeah. I just wanted to shave you.
It is nice to be free from all that. You know, I had a compulsion to come home. I got to see what she's up to today, or these other girls are up to today.
Like these are fake girlfriends.
I guess
it's like when you're 13, and you go, my girlfriend. You don't know her. You never. She's in Canada.
But yeah,
it's like that kind of thing. But you don't want to be the guy.
It's a compulsion.
It is, and I was like willing to embrace it for this is me, like you said, it's not me, and I'm glad.
Whenever sex becomes a lifestyle, you're in trouble.
Yeah,
I mean, you have all these same thing happens with swingers. Oh, we're cool with it. Yeah, not for too long.
Yeah.
If it's something where when you're recreationally having fun, you like to include other people, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're swingers and that's your lifestyle, you're headed to hell.
Do you
I'm
think
telling you. I don't mean literal hell. I mean in your life, you're headed to hell.
Normality is way better.
Do you think there were times swingers, if they followed the let's throw the keys into a bowl and pick
them?
Yeah,
the 70s
stuff. Someone picked one and it was like a really crappy car. They're like, oh. Great. You got the Mercedes. I'm going home with the guy at the Toyota Corolla.
Yeah, I got the Pinto.
Yeah, we'll head back to my trailer. Come on.
You know what? My house is my car.
Yeah.
So bring those keys.
I live in an RV. Hop on.
I don't know. I think sometimes when I talk about this stuff, people think that I'm trying to act like I'm some kind of – I'm not.
Well, you're fascinated by it, or you wouldn't ask.
I'm just as dark and twisted as everybody else, but I'm so easily embarrassed. I could never put myself in a position – like I could never pay for sex. I would feel – I'd be like, oh, do I give it to you now? Or, you know, I just feel dumb.
You wouldn't be able to lose yourself.
Right.
You'd be constantly aware of your body and what it's doing.
Yeah, and it doesn't work well if you're worried about it.
For me, spontaneity is the most important thing about all of that. You're like, you know, a spark and that's a great idea.
If you're with your wife or with the girl, if it's planned, there's no way. Because you're overthinking it at that point. It's like, all right, I got to go do this now.
What do you do?
Yeah, the beginning of it is weird and then it gets really... And then you get into it.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
If Autumn's on a schedule.
If there's enough weed and alcohol.
No, you don't need that. I'm saying if you like each other enough, then you
forget in the middle of it.
It's just like morning sex.
I know.
Morning sex is weird at first because you're stinky and things are weird, and then all of a sudden you don't care.
But it is spontaneous. What I'm saying is we're going to have a date next Friday after the kids. And it's just like that doesn't work for me. It's got to be like, hey, that'll be fun.
Yeah, but when you have kids, sometimes that spontaneity is impossible.
Well, I've had
kids. Put down the clothes basket, baby.
Yeah, you're like, ugh, no.
Get over here.
Get off me.
Oh, yeah.
Travis tries to put his foot on me in bed. I'm like, ugh.
Oh, really? You're one of those?
Yeah, I don't like to cuddle.
Oh, that's terrible. What good are you? What good are you as a wife? Cuddling is everything. I mean, sex is okay. Sex is what it is. Cuddling is everything.
Oh, after the sex is fine.
No, I mean just cuddling in general. Just life. Why would you want to be with somebody if you can't curl up and shelter from the storm? You ought to allow him to have a hugging mistress. Someone he can go to.
A cuddle buddy?
A cuddle buddy.
Well, that's why they have those cuddle things popping up everywhere.
Yeah, those are weird for their own reasons.
Yeah. You imagine being this stinky, fat, 75-year-old guy.
Hey, you need to cuddle. Cuddle with me. My wife died.
Cuddling. You know, that cuddle thing would be terrible because you know it starts with a list of rules. Okay, yeah. Here are the rules. No hands. Nobody is like, okay.
They probably make you read the rules before you go in so they don't have to go through that awkward thing.
No, I think they have enforcers, too. If you're in there, you're breaking those rules, you're done.
Oh, I mean, there are people like pimps there?
Yeah,
beat you
those
up?
Rules are pretty strict.
All right, cuddling
you're
only.
Soy boys. Hey, stop that. You know the rules. Don't make me take my beard off.
No horseplay.
No horseplay.
I like thinking of the 75-year-old man whose wife died and he came from his house where he's hoarding rats.
Yeah.
Until he compensated.
I've got kitten skeletons in my garage.
You want to see some kittens? I got their skeletons.
I got dead ones, live ones, some that are about to die, some that are just been born.
It's a full-on collection. Every kind.
He's like a scientist.
That's an actual from an episode of that show, Animal Hoarders.
Oh, really?
Yeah, oh.
Guy there's an animal. I can't even watch Hoarders.
Nah,
I tell you,
it was way worse.
I can't watch Hoarders. It grosses me out. I can't watch it. I absolutely cannot watch it because I can't get it out of my head at lunchtime or dinner.
No.
I feel for a lot of those people. I was watching one the other day, though, and the woman was so nasty. I was yelling at the TV. I was like, everyone should just leave you and you should rot in hell.
I say, you yell. It's like, you know what you do to make that show shorter? Is you take her out to lunch, and then while you're out to lunch, you just
clean
throw
out the
everything
house.
Out.
Yeah. What you going to do at that point?
Yeah, I think the last one. Well,
leave me
them.
Alone!
They use her in one of the promos.
That's my napkin from 1978.
No, and
I wiped my nose after someone gave me good news.
I'm going to get around to doing something with all this fabric.
There was one I saw a couple of years ago where the lady was just so disgusting. And I'll tell you something. I've known people like this.
Yeah,
I mean,
me
I lived in Watson, Louisiana, you know, and that doesn't mean everyone. And now it's probably just a suburb. But in the 70s, I mean, it was out there in the country. And it was a weird dynamic out there because there were really rich people and then there were people living in shanties, you know, no electricity within a mile of each other. And so I've seen people like this before. And the one that I saw a couple of years ago, the lady was just disgusting. And,
the kitchen.
Bathrooms.
And you just,
they sleep.
Yeah. Those refrigerators.
They always carve out a little area to lay down.
Yeah,
the TV there and an ashtray.
And a microwave.
Yeah.
Should this person ever have been put on television? Think of all the people who have really honed a good act and can't find themselves they can't even get a shot to do stand-up on Fallon. And this lady is the one who gets on television.
She's famous because she doesn't throw anything out.
Except her teeth, apparently.
Thomas Lennon.
Because she couldn't find them.
Thomas Lennon's mom was a hoarder, and he had to
go through. Who's Thomas Lennon?
He was on The State. And
The Odd Couple and Reno 911.
And Reno 911, and he's a writer.
Yeah.
Anyway, so his mom was a hoarder, and he went through a lot of hell trying to get house cleaned up.
I just, you know, I would just
mad at her, and you know, like they because the families feel like the parents or whoever is the hoarder, they choose their hoard over their family.
Well, this is how I would be when the cameras are rolling. I would say that used to be my mom. As far as I'm concerned, that's not my mom anymore, and this is the last I'm going to be in this episode, because you know, what do you call that when you let your children go? If you can
empty nest?
No. There's condemning them.
Oh,
mm-hmm. Just
exile.
Whatever.
Just cut them off.
No, it's not
shun.
No.
Yeah. What do you
disown?
Oh, disown. Got it.
Finally, the word shows up in my stupid head. If a parent can disown their children, children can disown their parents, right?
Right.
But now so we that's say not my we mother. Shouldn't. I'm just being devil's advocate. We say that you shouldn't disown kids. So why should you disown parents?
Well, no, you probably I mean, sometimes you should disown kids. If you've given them so many opportunities and they're just, you know, hey, look, you know what? I got an idea. How about you just spend all of your time thinking about meth and none about me? And that'll work out.
I think it's about setting a hard boundary, right? Like if you have someone in your life that's a hoarder and it's really like an addiction, right? Like you can't make them be ready for change.
Yeah,
you can't give them that, like, aha.
Who feels worse when it's clean? Everybody, even I'm a lazy person, so I'll let things go. And but I mean, when things are clean, you're just much happier.
Yeah. Right?
I think the people are happy that it's clean, but they can't stop collecting things because when they lose something, it's like a total rejection of their humanity because of some trauma.
There's a shame. There's a shame there. They are ashamed about the mess, but they can't give up the mess.
Yep. Right.
And I
because
think
it's a comfort.
Maybe disowning they're just lazy.
Them, disown. No, it's
not.
Yeah, that.
They're just lazy.
Disowning them is not going to do anything. It'll just probably make the hoarding worse. But yeah, it's like I have this bell pepper. I'm going to make fajitas one day, and the bell pepper's covered in mold. It's been in the refrigerator for 6 years.
But then throwing away that bell pepper means that they have failed. They can never, you know.
Sorry, Adam. Real quick though, like so, you have people that have been married 50, 55 years. I'll use my grandparents. As an example, my grandfather passes away. My grandmother has purchased groceries in the same fashion for 30 years or 40, 50 years.
Yeah.
So she'd still go to the store and get, you know, two bunches of bananas and all this stuff. And you go to the house and they'd have flies all over them.
Yeah.
But that's just because.
Well, she's going to say, hey, grandma, he's dead. You got to get over it and stop buying so much stuff.
Well, you can't.
Yeah, old bag.
You can't do that. And my dad and my uncle would try, you know, why are you buying all these bananas? You don't need them. She goes, I'm going to make banana bread. And they're like, you're not doing anything but watching TV. But, I mean, you still have that drive to do that, but you don't have the energy.
You saying that, it reminds me, my new other boss, Drew.
Mm-hmm.
He put me on the spot. Put me on the spot on Friday because I was still here because there was no reason to go home because I was going to see the Hawks game later. So I was here later than usual, and I was like microwaving something for lunch. And we had a conversation, and I said, well, I'm going to see the Hawks. And he goes, oh, that must be good. And I said, well, you don't know me well enough to know that. Yeah, it's good. I'll have fun when I'm there, but I'm not really an event-oriented person. I'm a homebody. I like to go home, you know. And usually people stop talking to me then. But he kept talking, and he said, he's different. He's like, oh, when I get home, I'm immediate. Like, what are we going to do? I never – all this energy. And I said, no, I just like to go home. And he said, you like doing lawn work or something? I mean, what do you do? And I was like, I like to think. I was really on the spot, like, oh, I'm really just a lazy piece of stuff, you know? But I didn't want to – tell him, you know.
You want to come to my house today?
I'm putting up
blinds.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Well, I do things like that sometimes.
I feel like if Jane died,
yes,
you deteriorate. I don't know if you purposely become a hoarder, but the house would go to hell.
No, I would hire people to clean the
house.
I mean, I would know.
Because there are corners of your house that are hoard-like.
Yes.
That closet you had in your basement.
Yes. That's what I was thinking of. That's what I was picturing.
Well, you know, the problem was that in the early 2000s, I was making all this money, and I decided I had to buy every damned electronic gadget ever made. And they're like 4 months later, some new one comes along.
You throw that in the closet.
Yeah, and so
purgatory.
We got one of those rented dumpsters.
And then it's like, what do I do?
Dumpsters.
Do I sell it or whatever? Like, maybe I'll sell it online.
I never thought I was going to sell it because that takes effort. I knew I wasn't going to do that. I just thought that I had this idea in my mind, like, maybe when I set up a studio, I can reap a little bit of that. But mostly it's just laziness. But we got one of those rented dumpsters and filled that thing up. So that closet isn't as bad as it was before, but we need another rented dumpster. My wife is buying into this spark joy nonsense.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
She's fine with
spark
me.
Spark joy.
I like, you know what? I like minimalist. My life is not minimalist.
Did you watch that movie?
What?
On Netflix, The Minimalists?
No.
I just watched it. It's really
good. I didn't say I like the movie. I like the concept.
Well, I thought that's why you brought it up, because that other show is on Netflix.
No. I like myself. If I had my way, I would live in a house, you know, almost like Lennon and Yoko Ono at the end. You know, just all white.
I think Moby has nothing. Like a real minimalist house.
Yeah, that would be me.
I saw it on Cribs.
Yeah.
I've got his phone number. You want to check?
Yeah.
Let's call him.
Call him and ask.
Hello.
He's on the south side.
So, yeah, I would have a totally minimalist. My wife, though, it's just stuff everywhere. I mean, on the walls and everything. I don't even mean filth. Just
filth.
Oh, show me your hoard. Oh, my God. How old is that newspaper? Oh, God.
Stop. Stop calling. No, why you leave Moby alone?
I just texted him. You live in a minimalist house, right? Let's see if he writes back.
Does he know you?
No.
Oh. I don't know how I get the number.
Lots of people's numbers I have are dead. I got Anthony Bourdain.
Like, yeah, if you're a celebrity and you get that, you'd be like, yes?
Yeah, I do.
Why not? What does that mean?
If I'd known I had Anthony Bourdain's number, I would have called him when he was alive and said, hey,
Well, you can't even call it now.
Call it now and listen to his voicemail message?
No. I didn't even call. I felt
that's
bad.
That's weird because dead people are still on Facebook.
Yeah.
I mean, it's,
poor
I
Brody
friends.
Stevens. Did you see that comedian died?
Who is he? I saw that he died, but I don't know his stuff.
Comedian's comedian.
Yeah. He's really funny, and he was really sweet.
Did he overdose or something?
No, he hung himself.
Oh, wow. You hanged himself.
I'm sorry.
This is not a time to argue about grammar when a man has taken his life.
Yeah, it is.
It's important.
We need to drive that home. It's hanged.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I know it's
hanged. You know, you just never know. Did anybody think this guy was suicidal?
Yeah.
No,
he'd been giving off signs for years. He's, really? He was crazy, more of a performance artist, depression, like mad depression.
But he's a comedian, so it's hard to know. And I was going to say, I mean, I was not going to kill myself, but I felt I was dipping my toe in the suicidal pond. And like, you wouldn't think that I was that depressed.
No, but sometimes it's just easier to go, oh man, I don't have to do anything.
Not me. I have a raging fear of death. I mean, I just try to control that. My whole thing is about I don't want to die like being horribly stupid.
So you want your pants on?
Well, that. But I mean, I want to be able, like, if it's coming, I want to be able to go, okay, that's cool. Let's do it. Let's be, you know, reasonable about this. Let's not go out in a panic, screaming and hollering. So that would be, I can honestly say that I have never had a suicidal thought in my life. A real one.
Right.
I mean, a teenager, you know, thinking about stuff just to be melodramatic, but a real one, I've never had it. And neither has Greg Russ.
Now, I've told you before, as the trains are coming into the station, the subway trains, I have to stand against the back wall just in case. Just in case some impulse overcame me and I jumped.
But see, that's the was the perverse of the imp or whatever again.
Yeah, the imp of the perverse.
Imp of the perverse.
How you doing? Yeah. Take your pants off. Yeah, you want to jump?
No, I hope people get help because I can't relate to it. I can't relate to it. I want to stay alive as long as I possibly can, even if I have no money or anything. Anyway, so our message is, if you're thinking about it, get help.
Yeah, even you hoarders.
Yeah, well, the hoarders are obvious.
They're lost.
All right, we're
gonna leave me alone.
You're not gonna be here tomorrow, Tuesday.
No, but Wednesday.
Wednesday you'll be here.
And then I might not be here. I won't be there Thursday.
And okay, so then you're leaving town, and then Autumn's coming in. We're doing the live lounge one.
Yeah.
If I had known before, I would have maybe stayed longer.
All right, the music's about to end, so I have to say, get off my lawn.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.